Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, everyone. And welcome to the September 21st, 2010, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 p.m. West Coast, Tuesday night edition of the show. I'm your host, Mr. Tommy, the drama magnet, Sotomayor. Yes, that is correct. I am the positive ion of your world that seems to be able to defy logic and science by being able to quickly repel negative people with my views. And I would like to thank you for joining me tonight for the trash talking Tuesday edition of Your World, My Views. Thank you for that little science intro that I gave you guys. Hopefully you got it. If you didn't, fuck it. Now, in Saturday afternoon edition of the show, we discussed the idea of when infidelity hits home. And Little Snowflake was not there. She was not able to be on the Saturday show, but we had a great show. But she's back and better than ever for the Tuesday show. Miss Pumping Iron Aaron, what's going on?
Hey, Tommy, what's up, everybody?
All right, now I got to ask you.
I missed the show.
Oh, yeah, it was a good show. Great show, actually. And so since you missed it, I'll get your opinion on the idea of when infidelity hits home. Now, what we were asking was, have you either been in the situation or had the situation happen to you where you or either someone you knew were messing with someone within an inner circle, whether it be friends, family members, or at your workplace? Just someone was messing around with the same people in that group and how it affected that group. Have you ever had that happen?
Oh, man. Well, I've been cheated on, but you're talking about, like, you know, in a
like
workplace with everybody.
Your best friend. Well, no, your best, say your best friend slept with your man, or your sister slept with your man, or you slept with somebody's, one of your friends' man, or a couple of your friends knew were messing with the same guy. How did it affect that circle when infidelity hit home? Not when they cheat on you, but when it's somebody close to you. Because it's different when it's a stranger that cheats on you, right? When your mate cheats on you with a stranger.
Sure. I mean, you know, I haven't really had much experience with that. I mean, I was very lucky to have some good friends that would never do that, and they know that I would whip their ass, and vice versa.
Have you seen it from the outside, though? Like, you know, some people at work messing with each other, and it became all the rage at the job, and everybody knew it because all those people who were close at the gym were messing with the same person.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, pick one. Pick a situation where it's happening at a gym. I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, but I've definitely seen it really impact people, especially in the workplace. I mean, you know.
Like, what is it, like, and that's the thing, we were talking about the idea of, like, I've seen brothers break up over it, I've seen friends of 20 years break up over a man they've known for 6 months, I've seen it ruin businesses between people. I mean, what is the most extreme thing you've seen that situation break up or ruin or just mess up?
You know, it was really weird. I mean, I've actually had more experience with it going well. Like, I know people who either got divorced, and then their brother ended up with their wife, and, like, they're totally cool with it. Or, I'm not kidding, or some best friends, you know, like, couples that would hang out together all the time, and then, hey, you know, somebody started getting a little too friendly, and, oh, this is your part. I'll stop.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Dr. Dre.
I'm getting good.
Now, yeah, it feels good. I almost orgasm sometimes when that plays. Now, Now, I always said this, and people used to laugh at me, but just growing up around a bunch of white people, and I always said, and even when you watch the soap opera, white people take that a little easier than black people do. Meaning, like, I remember friends of mine who were dating this one chick, and then the chick would go date one of their friends, and they were more cool with it than black people. And you just said that you've seen it happen more often to where it's better. Why is it that white people have a better, they don't get as obsessed with the idea of who you had sex with as black people do? Like, black girls will tell another black girlfriend of theirs, like, say if you were a black girl and you got my number, but we never talked. And 2 months later, I met your friend at the club and we hit it off and I got her number. You would go tell that friend, you know, he gave me his number 2 months ago. He tried to get at me. And then she would not talk to me because she'll say, well, you tried to holler at my friend. Black girls are that stupid. No pun. No, I'm just going to call it like it is. They're that stupid. White girls don't tend to have that problem. White girls will tell their friend, hey, you know, he wasn't for me or I didn't really like him, but you guys seem like you'd be great together. Go on. Why is that?
No. White girls, no. I think that all women get a little bit freaked out if their friends are messing with, you know, each other's old man. I mean, that's like friend 101. You don't talk to your girl's ex. You know, not that everyone listens, but I think it's a problem in both races, no matter
what.
Right,
but when it's a complete stranger, when it's a guy you didn't mess with, you didn't do anything with him. He gave you his number. You weren't interested. You didn't call him. You thought he was lame. Your friend meets him in 2 months. She thinks he's the best thing in the world. Would you tell her, ooh, he tried to get at me and I thought he was lame? Or would you just be happy that she's happy?
Well, I don't know. I'll have to think about that one. I think I would probably definitely tell her what happened, but I don't know if I'd be bothered.
But what happened? All he did was give you his number and you didn't like him.
I don't know. I don't have an answer for you.
Women. Men, we don't do that to each other at all. If a girl tried to talk to me and I didn't find her interesting enough to talk to, I could care less that you're on a date with her. I wouldn't even tell you, you know what, buddy, that chick tried to get at me, but she a lame and I didn't want her. I don't see what I would get out of that. That's like you taking a job and me telling you, you know, they wanted to hire me first, but I didn't want that job.
But would you still be like that if it was somebody that you had, like, really, I'm talking like, you know, there's different rules for lengths of time you've been with that person. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I'm not thinking that you're going to say, oh, go on ahead. If it's your girl of like 4 years or something, you would get mad.
I'm not. I would get mad because the first thing I would wonder is, how long have you guys been thinking about screwing before, you know, before now?
Yeah.
So I feel you on that. Now, I'm going to somebody close, but I'm saying, like you said, that you've seen it worked out. I've never seen it in the black community where it worked out at all. Mm-hmm. I've never seen it not once where you messed around with my sister or my best friend and we now cool new. It always end bad and sometimes you might find it on Channel 5 News. But, so you're saying that it actually have worked out. Well, first off, ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys for joining us for this Trash Talking Tuesday edition of the show. We're going to have a good show for you tonight. We're going to be talking trash. We're going to be talking shit. I just had to put talking trash out there because I couldn't say shit, and it didn't rhyme with Tuesday and trash. But now that's shit talking Saturday. But no, Trash Talking Tuesday, thank you guys for joining us. We have a very special guest that's going to be in studio with us tonight, and it's Miss the adult film star, Miss Diamond Jackson, and she's going to be here to answer your questions, and she's going to also talk to you about what tonight's subject is going to be about. And tonight's subject of the show is going to be about booty call protocol.
Love it.
What should be the rules if you are going to join a booty call situation? And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. And if you're new to the show and you don't know how the show works, we usually get into the topic at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 7 p.m.
wherever.
West Coast. And now, if you're in Hawaii, I have no idea. I'm assuming it'd be about 3. But I don't know. But anyway, that's what we do. And beforehand, we get to talking about a lot of stuff. We get into stuff, and we have our little segments during that time. So we have fun. I'll pull out some old skits from my comedy routines. We'll just have fun, and we'll take your phone calls, too, early in the show where we will allow you to, if you got some trash you want to talk to some people, you can go ahead and talk that trash. I got to talk some trash a little bit, so Aaron, I hope you give me the time to do that. And if you have,
oh, you go ahead.
And I'm going to let you jump in and do that. And I'm going to, and for that, I'm going to bring in my friend because I know she wants to have, and I just want to hear her laugh. Miss Mills, how you doing?
Hey.
I just bring you in. Huh?
You have interesting people, like, for real.
I got people that hate me.
Literally, like, how, I mean, for you to get your page deleted again.
Yes,
that has
sir.
Got to be like, that is a lot of hate. Hate is such a strong
they
word.
They hate me.
Really
and they dislike me, and they dislike me for silly shit. My co-host wanted me to get rid of my other co-host, which I don't know why. She'd been all of co-hosts, and women are crazy. They think that because they giving you head or something that you are supposed to make all decisions that they ask you to do. Because they light skin and they got a nice size fake breast that you supposed to do what they tell you to do.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with
and all of
that.
Us. Oh, there's nothing wrong with it, but that don't mean I'm supposed to do what you told me to do. There's nothing wrong with it. But this person decided that, you know what? Yeah, this person decided that after 3 weeks of being on the show, that somehow my show of 1 year would crash if she wasn't around. So I got the threat that if Aaron is going to continue to be on the show, then I'm not going to be on the show. I said, well, all righty then, I'll talk to you later. And I continued to do my show. Now, this person has waited around for a couple of days and continued. And then all of a sudden, all the hard work that I do, they want to decide that, you know what? I heard that you from my peeps. First off, you fucking 40 years old. 40-year-olds shouldn't call anybody peeps. Nobody grown should call anybody peeps. And to actually write out peeps, my peeps heard your show. And they said you were talking about me. I said, the great thing about this being an internet show is it allows me to see every, okay, what's going on in y'all background? It allows me to see everything that goes on. Okay, then. I'm going to mute that. It allows me to see everything that goes on the show. So I saw that you had listened yourself. So what she did was for the last few days, she's been listening to see if anyone would ask for her. Miss Monique told me, she said, you shouldn't even bring up her name because no one else, since she's not been on the show, has even asked. And that is strange. Not one individual has called and said, where is that light-skinned chick with the fake breasts who bragged about sleeping with Michael Jordan?
You know who did ask about her? Me.
Who? Oh, yeah, you did. You asked.
I did.
Well, yes, you did. The person who she wanted to get put off of the show. Because she said that you take up her talk time.
Oh.
As if she was talking about nuclear fission or fusion and we needed to hear about it. And for some reason, with her not being there, or with you taking, and I don't know what kind of time you would take. I assume I had great chemistry. I thought it was pretty cool. I was trying to build up on that. But she thought, no, you're ruining the chemistry. So she thought she was going to go on strike like the baseball players and not show up a couple of episodes, that I was going to call her and be like, girl, you got to come back.
That's funny.
I was like, girl, I'm glad I got rid of that headache because I've known you for 6 years and you've been nothing but a headache. I'll tell this to anybody and you can believe it. And women, if you fall into this category, I'm sorry for what I'm about to say. If you are in your 40s, near your 40s, and you look that damn good, and you can't keep a man, you're nuts. There's a reason. You're nuts. You can't keep it. You can't do anything. But when your greatest claim to fame is, I slept with Michael Jordan, and you tell people that you slept with a married man, that's what you like introducing yourself. I meet this person for the first time, and she said, Michael Jordan's my boyfriend. And I remember I was like, Michael Jordan's quite married. She said, I know. I said, okay. What do I do with this? Anyway, people like this need to grow up. Second off, I got this clown who sends me messages, and when I'm not doing it on the clock, I can tell your business. So here it goes. This clown is telling – I wasn't doing it on the clock, so I was just trying to help him mentally. And he comes telling me about, you know, he was stressed about his baby mama and his baby, you know, and blah, 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 and his job, and and his Fruity Loops, and he about to kill himself. And I listen to him.
His
and then I watch him on his Facebook page. Yeah, that's what he used to make his Fruity Beats. Fruity Loops. Well, anyway, he's, first off, I'm going to tell you all, don't pick a fight with a comedian. Don't pick a fight with a comedian with a forum. You should just stop. You should say, you know what? I'm going to block him, and I won't let nobody know I had an argument with him. But he posts on his page almost every other day about how he wants people to kill themselves. You know that little thing y'all young people say, Jack, kill yourself, go kill yourself.
Yeah, kill yourself.
Well, he was talking to me about wanting to kill himself.
I'm actually trying to break myself from saying it.
Yeah, it's the stupidest saying, go kill yourself. It's the dumbest thing, but he said it on his
page. If somebody really go out there and do it, then I feel like you're responsible for that person. He's like, man, go kill yourself. They'd be like, okay, pow. And you're like, damn.
And we about to talk about a man who actually took himself, who took his life today. That's going to be one of the things that's going on in the news. But I'm speaking to this guy, and I tried to actually check up on him because I hadn't heard from him. I thought, you know, something was going wrong with him. Well, apparently he does like a lot of other guys. Maybe somebody on his friends list, because y'all taking Facebook too serious, wanted to fuck me, and it was somebody he wanted to fuck. And these guys, y'all killing me by not talking to me because your girlfriend or ex-girlfriend or somebody want to fuck me as if I did something. I don't know. Don't get mad at me. So I guess he automatically assumes, well, I got to stop associating with this dude because these lame chicks that like me are starting to like him. Man, I don't want none of them girls. I seen them girls that be talking on your page. I seen your baby mama. I seen who you in your complicated relationship with. Man, it ain't a pretty sight. So I don't have no interest in none of that.
You said I said it in over here in my room to myself, but you said out loud.
I'm just saying, if you're going to be in a complicated relationship, let the girl be fine. Please. If you're going to put yourself out there and embarrass yourself, Mr. Complication, don't let the chick look like a nigga I went to school with. Now, that's what a girl looked like a nigga I used to play ball with. I think I played badminton with him.
I was looking at the pictures and I was like, wow, ugly people really do make pretty babies. you know how old people say ugly people make the prettiest babies. That's all I was saying. Like, she really do make pretty babies. Like, I'm just,
yeah, they do.
Like, now, she ain't cute at all.
At all. Boy, if cute was,
I'm so glad that they got all they looks from their daddy because she is a hot
good night. I was like, man, I thought that was one of them nights. I thought that was one of them nights where he must have been one of them Heineken nights. But he was, you know, one of them Patron nights. But no, that's love. Yeah. And I ain't saying there's nothing wrong with ugly love. I mean, love your ugly person, but stop talking about you a player. If you loving ugly people, you ain't no player. When all the ugly people find out that you dating this ugly person and number ugly people come out the woodwork that's pissed off, damn. I was like, when I saw that, I was like, I would delete my page if all these ugly-ass chicks jumping on my page talking about another ugly chick. I would literally just deactivate my own page. I said, you know what? Somebody going to find this out. Now, Aaron,
while
we doing Trash Talking Tuesday, who you want to trash talk before we get into your little segment? Because I know you got something that's up in your craw. I know it is.
Oh, always. It's debatable on whether or not I want to give them the satisfaction of talking trash about them. But
that's why you shouldn't call their name, because I love these fake people who say that they actors or whatnot, because my co-host, when she had the actual dude from some of Tyler Perry's stuff on, notice she didn't have nothing to say, but she's always told me about how she was in Tyler Perry or something. Well, when the man who would actually verify whether she was in it was on, boy, she was quiet as a church mouse. But go ahead.
Well, I mean, there's some people pissing me off these days, and I'm not going to mention any names, but there's certain trainers, would you say, in the industry who love to name drop to get other clients. And my advice to you is that, you know, it's one thing if you help somebody out, you know, it's one thing if you, you know, gave somebody some advice at some point in their competition history, especially if they're a pro. That is one of my ex-boyfriends, and that's the only way you know them. But don't name drop to get clients. Like, you know, get clients because you're a worthy, worthwhile person. You're a good trainer. You know your stuff. Don't name drop off of somebody that the only reason you know them is because of me. Don't name drop to get clients. Like, that's just ridiculous and pathetic, quite pathetic. You know, I mean, come on. Like, that shit is just,
I'm with you.
So, come on. And, like, and the funny part is, it's like, don't do it to the people in my gym where I'm going to find out about it and probably knock your story down. You know what I'm saying? Like, people are going to ask me, hey, so I heard that so-and-so was this person's trainer. No, they won. So,
yeah, it's like your homeboy who put on his page that he a personal trainer. Really? Who do you train, sir? Harper. No.
Oh, my God. Stop.
No, but no, it's like people, when they do that, they kill me. It's like he was doing the same thing, going around telling people they know me. Same thing with your other boy. And that's what's be killing me, another thing that these people do on Facebook. I've had people who be my friend like for like 2 months and then will just start jacking the chicks off my page and then won't talk to me, but will talk to the chicks that they jack off my page. And I'm like, what happened to me and you being cool, man? But you telling these chicks, oh, me and him homeboys. I don't know you from other than Facebook. But it's like these people want to take whatever it is of someone else and then like dick
exactly.
ride them. I guess that's what it's called.
Right. Yes. And you know what's funny? When I was with him, all she could say is, I don't know why you mess with that guy. All he ever does is blah, blah, blah. He was the biggest piece of shit when I was with him. Oh, but when it suits you, when it suits you, you're going to drop their name all day long that, you know, you and him are best of friends. And, I mean, come on. I have no use for people that talk out of both sides of their mouth, period. No use.
And it's a bunch of them, girl, that's running around. It is a bunch of them that's running around. And what we're going to do right now, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Health and Body Sculpting segment with my little snowflake, the beautiful, the Miss Erin. What's going on, girl?
Well, this week in my fitness segment, since it is the booty call protocol, I thought that I would share with everybody my little edition of what I like to call Afterpiece Theater Part 1. And that means that, you know, everybody's trying to build the perfect booty. You know, whether it be get you some booty or get rid of some booty, everybody, especially with the Kim Kardashians and the J-Lo's and everybody's after the booty. I mean, they even have butt implants, you know. But there's things that you can do, people, that can not only give you what you want, but maybe, you know, improve your whole physique. You know, you want the hourglass, you want the this, you want the that. So I'm going to give you some moves that you can achieve that. You know, you can even do some of it in your own home if you don't go to a gym, if you're, you know, one of those lazy people that just want to have everything quick fixed, which is not ever the solution. So, you know, one of the things that I said three moves, very easy. And all of these, you can also Google. Go to bodybuilding.com. That's not a shameless plug or anything, but they do have a lot of examples of any of the exercises that I mentioned, so if you don't know what I'm talking about, you can go find them. Stationary lunges. These are great for, you know, tightening your backside. You know, or walking lunges. I don't know how much room you have in your house or outside or whatever, but you can either do stationary lunges or walking lunges. The key is
with or without weights?
I mean, you can do them without weights for now.
Okay.
You know, I mean, a lot. If you have a gym, great. Use like, you know, 10-pound dumbbells. If you're a more experienced person in fitness, obviously pick a weight that's a little bit difficult for you at the last 10 to 12 reps. But, you know, if you're just a typical person just trying to get back into fitness, trying to be consistent, you can do these at home. You know, how about also stationary squats or ball squats? If you have a ball, get up against the wall, do some ball squats against the wall, or stationary squats. You can even hold a can of detergent, you know, if you want to add a little bit of resistance at your home and you don't have a gym. You can just hold a full bottle of detergent and do squats. It'll add a little bit of extra resistance and really help you focus on your gluteus maximus. You can also do kickbacks, where you basically get on all fours, doggy style, and you know, hopefully your husband doesn't come in and think it's like party time. But you can just sort of do some kickbacks, and these are all on bodybuilding.com too, or you can email me and I will, you know, try to email you some steps to achieve it. But, you know, all of those exercises, you know, the kickback is basically where you just get on all fours and kick your leg up towards the sky. you know, and really squeeze. It's all about the squeeze, guys. If you want to focus on any sort of muscle, you've got to squeeze. If nothing else, you don't even have to do a perfect rep. But as long as you squeeze, you're working the muscle. And so, you know, obviously with any sort of regimen, anything you're trying to achieve, just be consistent. Try to do it, you know, don't be, you know, unrealistic, but do maybe start 2 or 3 times a week. Then work up, you know, or when you get sort of comfortable, join a gym, you know, try these in a gym with some weights or what have you. And obviously I've got to talk about diet, everyone's favorite topic. It's probably the hardest for anybody to stick to a diet. But so, you know, like I said, the two problems in the beginning, if you're on the skinny side and you need a butt, try to eat some really good carbs. Try to eat brown rice, sweet potatoes, you know, try to get some really good carbs in your diet and some lean protein to really help burn the fat on your butt, but also give you a little bit more muscle back there. If you want to shed fat and tone your butt, if you've got a little extra back there, you know, go a little lighter on the carbs. Maybe do, you know, more fruits and use healthy fats and lean protein. You know, those are really good tips that can really help you, you know, achieve that booty you desire. You know, and obviously for cardio, it always helps to burn those calories. Use a step mill at the gym, walk on an incline. The key to any sort of cardio to target your ass is just to get your legs up at 90, get your legs high, get those knees high. You know, when you're stepping, you can even use the steps in your house, you know, or skip a step, you know, as you go up. Everything is possible if you don't have a gym, but if you do, those machines are pretty good to target that area. And, you know, like I said, always push through your heels, really target those glutes. So if you want any other help or you're interested in me doing a little bit more for you in the area of nutrition, I'm always available. You got to give me an email address, too, by the way. But
oh, I keep, man, I keep
now.
Forgetting. I'm old. What I'm going to do is bring in somebody who wants to ask you a question, though. And
okay.
Let me see. Caller 44788, what's happening? What do you want to ask?
Hey, good evening. I had a question. About, actually, since you mentioned the lunges, I was doing my lunges yesterday, and I have a very sore spot on my leg, and I'm not sure how it happened, where it came from, and I'm trying to figure out how can I work it out, because I have been really almost unable to walk straight for the last 2 days, but just below my calf and above my ankle, I'm not even sure what muscle that is. It's just extremely painful right now. I suspect it's from walking around in 5-inch heels for the last 5 days, but
yeah, that could be it.
What do you suggest to loosen that up?
Well, you know, anything below the calf, are you talking about down by your heel, in between your heel and the ball of your calf?
Exactly, right in between there.
Okay, you know, that's more of like maybe like an Achilles tendon problem, and, you know, I mean, yeah, the heels will do it, because believe me, I can definitely relate to that. I'm a big, big heel fan. But, you know, any kind of stretching before you perform any sort of exercise, especially, you know, anything that's pretty strenuous, you should just always try to do a calf stretch, which is just stand against the wall and sort of put your arms straight against the wall and just sort of lean into the stretch. I don't know if you've ever stretched your calves before, but if you try to keep your feet flat on the ground and your legs, your knees not bent, and you just sort of lean into the wall and just really get a nice stretch back there, it should loosen up. And then, you know, hopefully you wouldn't injure yourself in a workout or anything. But I always recommend stretching to every client, because it's probably one of the most crucial parts of any sort of effective training.
Okay.
So, yeah, great. Stretch, you know.
All right.
Thanks.
All right. Well, good deal. Before we go to a break, go ahead and let them know right now how they can send you a message and how we will get you an email. Because I'm old and I forget, and if you don't remind me, I'm dealing with so much drama and attrition on the show, I don't know what to do. But go ahead and tell them where they can get in contact with you.
Well, you can always send me an email. It's erin.strickland@gmail.com, and my name is spelled erin.strickland. So I'm happy to answer your question.
I was waiting to say M-O-U-S-E the way you said that. The way you were singing it.
Whoa, Tommy, stop moving your head around.
Oh, my God, where in the world was that?
Did we lose him? Tommy, this is horrible. You can't even hear you. You're going in now.
This so sucks. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys for joining us this evening. This is Your World, My View. I am your host, Billy Graham. Thank you guys for joining us. Seriously, we're about to go to a break, and we're going to come back with news. We're going to also come back with Miss Diamond Jackson. So you guys get your questions ready. Get everything together because we're going to get into it. This is Your World, My View, and we will be right back.
Hello, loyal following. Tommy, fit for the summer, Sotomayor here, and I would like to talk to you about getting into amazing shape over the next 3 months. What am I talking about, you ask? Well, if you're anything like me and used to have those ripped abs in your early 20s, but now find yourself in your, later 20s and beyond with just maybe 2 cans left in a keg and want to do something about it, well, look no farther and wait no longer because I've found the solution, P90X. The fine people at Beachbody have put together a 12-DVD program that requires nothing but your commitment and 90 days, no gym equipment, and no membership fees. The P90X is a revolutionary system of 12 sweat-inducing, muscle-pumping workouts designed to transform your body from regular to ripped in just 90 days. You'll also receive a comprehensive 3-phase nutrition plan, specially designed supplement options, a detailed fitness guide, a calendar to track your progress, online peer support, and much, much more. Your personal trainer, Mr. Tony Horton, will keep you engaged every step of the way, and you won't believe the results. The secret behind the P90X system is an advanced training technique called muscle confusion, which accelerates the results process by consistently introducing new moves and routines so your body never plateaus and will never get bored. Whether you want to get lean, bulk up, or just get plain ripped, there's endless variety of ways to mix and match routines and to keep you motivated for the full 90 days and beyond. Want proof? Join me and the rest of the Your World, My Views following today, not tomorrow, not next week, today, as I go from fine to even finer in just 90 days. So get on board now at www.yourworldmyviews.net. On the homepage, scroll down, click Get Started Today. P90X, 100% guaranteed satisfaction or your money back. So what are you waiting on? Get it today.
I used to think the only bad thing about getting my mail was getting the bills. Turns out someone else getting my bills was worse.
With Wachovia, dedicated fraud specialists will work with you one-on-one to reclaim your identity, recoup your losses, and reestablish your financial reputation.
Thankfully, there are people who care about my name as much as I do. I'm with Wachovia.
We're absolutely obsessed with satisfying our customers. Wachovia.
Subway, home of the famous $5 footlong, like our fresh toasted black forest ham with cheese and our newest $5 footlong, the fresh delicious chicken pizziola. $5 footlongs, all day, every day.
Hello, loyal following. Tommy Sotomayor here. Now, y'all know that I don't endorse any product or company that I don't believe in. So I want to talk to you today about a company that not only came through for me in my time of need, but they performed above and beyond what I anticipated or expected. See, a few months ago, I was in dire need of a website as my original site was destroyed and I needed to be back up and running like yesterday. I called the fine folks at Mantiaba Interactive and got in touch with Mr. Keith Newton. Now, Keith not only walked me through the setup of the YourWorldMyViews.net site, but let me know piece by piece what he was doing and gave me a cost up front. None of this, let me do the job and stick you with the bill afterwards. After our consultation, Keith not only had me back up and running in 2 days, but was able to give my site the professional and user-friendly feel that I was looking for. And the price? Well, let me just say, you get top-notch quality work
and service at a very friendly price. Don't believe me? Take a look for yourself and go to www.mantiaba.com. That's www.mantiaba.com. And contact Keith directly with questions that you may have at knewton@mantiaba.com. That's knewton@mantiaba.com. And make sure that you let them know that Tommy sent you. Mantiaba Interactive, creating media for the world you want to share with the rest of the world. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. I'm your host, Mr. Billy Graham. And to my left, I got Ms. Lindsay Lohan. Lindsay, what's happening?
Hey.
Girl, I don't know what's going on. There's some people saying they can't hear the show. I don't know what it is. There's a lot of people that's logging on. We have a huge crowd today. I like it. I like it a lot. If you can't get online and hear it, then you can try to call in. We have 150 free lines now. Try your best to get on. The number is 347-989-8310. The site is yourworldmyviews.net. Get on. Click. Join the show. Because tonight, we're having the fabulous Miss Diamond Jackson, who's going to be joining us. She is an adult film star extraordinaire. And I'll ask you, Aaron, do you partake in any of the adult filmage?
Do I do it or do I watch it?
Do you watch it? I'm sorry. Do you partake in it? Not do you do it now? You know.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, if you do it now, you can tell us now. If you do it, you can go on.
Yeah.
I don't want to see it.
You know what I'm saying? We can stop the show now and just have a viewing party. But
I know.
But who are some of your favorite porn stars? That's one of the questions that I ask the people. Who are some of your favorite porn stars?
You know, I mean, I'm a big fan of the girl on girl. I like Jenna Jameson, obviously. I know it's so cliche, but I really do. I love Brianna Banks. You know, I just think that they're beautiful. They're people you want to watch. You know what I mean? Like, there's ones that you don't even, you're like, honey, you put a paper bag over that girl's head or something. Like, I mean, it's just awful, the faces they make and stuff. So I like sensual, you know, romantic porn with like a plot. I'm real big on the plot. I think that's awesome. So
really?
Judge
plot
away. Oh, yeah.
Porn. No, there's nothing wrong with it. I've seen them white porns, and the white porns, they do try to have a plot with them.
Yeah,
the brother porns is just some dude rapping, and next thing you know, they fucking. It's like, wow.
Porn, they get all out over the years. Yeah.
I did watch one time.
Oh, what time did you watch?
It was called Black Poles and White Holes. It was a very perfect.
Oh, I've seen that series. I've seen that series. Good series.
I'm all about that one.
Good series.
Yeah, it's great.
It's a good series. Good series. Good work that they do on that show. Now, I want to just go on and get it before she gets on. So, in the news, with your host, Mel Gibson. Thank you, motherfuckers. Thank you, all you niggas out there. I got a little news for y'all. Let's see. Well, the first thing I want to bring up is there's a sad thing. There are two things, and they sad, but, you know, you ever heard somebody say funny, ha-ha, or funny, like, ironic? Whenever you say it's funny, they'll say funny, ha-ha. Well, this is sad, and you say sad like I'm going to cry, or sad like you just can't believe it. So these are the two things I'm going to say, and I'm going to give you the first one, the sad one. Denver Bronco Kenny McKinley, who's 23 years old, who was on injured reserve this year, killed himself.
Oh, I hadn't heard that.
Yep. I heard about it this morning. My dad was telling me about it.
Ooh. Yep. Said nobody in the organization saw any hints that the wide receiver was suicidal. He's a nice young man. If you take a look at his pictures, I don't know if any of you guys see the report or seen the news. I mean, he looks like, and there's no other way to put it, he looks like a baby. He looks like a little young kid. I mean,
he does.
Which is what he is.
He looks like a baby.
He's just a baby, and he took his own life. And again, when you got people out there who are going through things, and when you got these lames who are sticking on their page, go kill yourself. And as you said, Jack, sometimes they will. And we think that people have everything. We think that because, you know, he plays for the Broncos, he's got to have everything. He can't have any problems. But we don't know what's going through people's mind. And this young man, by everybody's account, was a giving, pleasant, nice young man. So this is a sad thing. And this is the third Denver Bronco to die or be killed in the last 4 years.
I'm really starting to think that their team is cursed.
And I want you guys to also – I want you guys who are listening, as well as you guys who are in the chat room or wherever, or if you come back and you listen to the show later, just go and Google NFL players that have killed themselves. That is a rough sport.
Oh, if you notice,
you don't see any 80- or 90-year-old NFL greats coming out to do their, you know, salutes. They're all dead. Mm-hmm. They're dead by the time they hit 70. They're dead.
Oh, yeah.
That's how rough that sport is.
Absolutely.
So, it's fun to play, get you paid for a little bit, and most of them don't even become millionaires. Most of them are broke. They are homeless NFL players. I have one in my family. You guys may know him. His name was George Rogers. He's my cousin. He played for South Carolina Gamecocks, same place where this guy who shot himself played for. He also went for the Washington Redskins, was a pro bowler.
Mm.
He's broke.
Surprised I don't know him.
He's broke. He got addicted to crack. He's broke. That is a hard life, what they do in the NFL. And no matter how much money they have, the life form is really difficult. So, guys, I mean, just take a moment of silence and just pray for the fact that you got not only just this famous guy who we get to put his name out there, but you got young people around you every day who feel like their only way out of life is to kill themselves. And we don't help with a lot of this narcissistic society that we have, because we done thought that we are more important than everybody else because we got a Facebook page and got almost 5,000 friends, mm-hmm. which you won't know number two of them. But anyway, mm-hmm. I digress and I move on to something else that's sad that was going on in the news with your host. Oh, hell, y'all know who it is. Y'all know it's me. And this is one of my favorite things. Don't be laughing, girl. This is one of my favorite things to talk about because y'all know I always talk about Creflo Dollar when, anyway, if you got a pastor and his name is Dollar in it, you're probably stupid for voting him as your pastor. And his first name sound like criminal because I don't know what a Creflo is. But his mama wrong for naming that. Who the fuck is a Creflo? I can see the white doctor coming in now. What are you going to name him, ma'am? Jamarcus is already taken. I think I'm going to go with Creflo. The doctor was like, what?
Like a Creflo.
And the doctor was wanting to smile, and he called in his nurse. Hold on a second, ma'am. Betty, come here. You got to hear this. All right, ma'am, can you tell Betty what you want to name the child again? For show, shout it, Creflo.
Oh, wow.
How you spell that, ma'am? You know what I'm saying? How you spell that, ma'am? I don't know. It spell like it sound, nigga. Okay, ma'am. I'm going to go ahead and write that down. Now, this, your boy Bishop Eddie Long was charged with sexual assault. Well, he must love a lot of people because he tried to love this man, and this man's trying to sue him. He is being charged. Yeah, he's been accused of sexual coercion. Two men, not just one. Two men have filed lawsuits against the DeKalb County alleging that Bishop Eddie Long coerced them into having sex.
Oh, my Lord.
Maurice Robinson, who is one of the plaintiffs in the lawsuit, alleged that Long of New Birth Missionary, ironic there, because he like it doggy style, not missionary, Baptist Church, used his spirituality and his authority as a bishop and leader of the defendant's ministry to coerce certain young male members and employees of the Bishop Eddie Long to have sex with him.
And they thought I was wrong for criticizing him by wearing them damn muscle shirts every damn Sunday.
I made a call because I said, dude, this can't be right. So I made a call in, and I call in to his to the lawyer who represents Bishop Eddie Long. And this is what he said. He said, my client adamantly denies the allegations in these two lawsuits, and it is unfortunate that these two young men have chosen to take this course of action. The lawsuit names Long, New Birth, and the Longfellows Youth Academy.
They don't even
it is ironic.
Sound like
why is his youth academy called Longfellows? I'm sorry. That just I'm
no,
that
I
alone. If I was on, if I was on the jury, he is guilty. Guilty as charged.
I never even voted for that name. I was like, that don't sound right. That sounds
right. Mr. Longfellow.
Me, y'all voted for this.
Damn,
y'all
Mr. Longfellows. Oh, everybody in here is over 8 inches long, fellows. you trying to get in with a little dick? It ain't going down like that, sir. You can't join.
Mm-mm. I swear. So this is why he started, like, getting the hair implants and stuff. He wasn't just for TV. He's trying to entice these young men. Lord Jesus.
And apparently it's working.
I mean,
it's working.
That man been wearing muscle shirts since I was 16. That was like 96.
Apparently, like I said, guys, apparently it's working. And that's in the news. I'll tell you now to watch out for any time a mega church. I think you're an idiot for joining a mega church. Number one, if it's 5,000 members, your pastor don't know who the fuck you are. So why are you being led by a shepherd who doesn't know his sheep? Common sense, you would want to be able to sit down and walk and see him at the grocery store and say, hi, Bishop. And he say, hey, Mary.
I
mean, seriously.
You know how after service, they always say, he will always say, if you want to come, you know, get a hug from me and all that stuff. I was never the one to try to go up there and get a hug. I wasn't into that, you know. But I would always notice it was always the children. Not children, the children.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm-mm.
Well, I got a problem with you, boy. I got a problem with mega churches, and I got a problem with y'all because whatever happened when y'all go to these mega churches, you deserve it. You do. When he steal all your money and y'all broke and y'all having to pay it, you deserve it. Because
and he's arriving on the roof in a helicopter and everybody else.
Thank you. Thank you. He arriving on the roof, and I'm hoping I can get there with enough gas to get home. You deserve whatever happens. You deserve it. You really do. I don't feel
my small church. My small church. Hold my mule while I shout Baptist, Methodist, Episcopal.
Yeah, y'all church should be no.
Church.
No, seriously, your church
like
should be.
That.
Your church should be a small church. Your church should be one of those to where the. I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying, your pastor should be pretty damn broke. Your pastor should mimic Jesus. He should be pretty broke. Y'all should have to bring his ass some fish and bread after every service. That's how your pastor. You know he preaching the. Yeah, that's what they used to bring Jesus. See that you go to church, don't pay attention to the Lord. See that? That's why I'm gonna go on to another subject.
I'll be there. I'm sorry.
And
I'll be texting. Texting.
That's all right. That's all right. That's all right. And we're gonna go to something else that's going on in the news. And this is funny to me. I'm gonna give one more sad piece of news. Then we're gonna bring in Diamond Jackson. I'm gonna give one more. Sad piece of news, then we're going to go into something that's just funny. And you guys can tell me what you think about this. An 11-year-old babysitter was charged in the death of a 2-year-old. In Sandy Springs, the police have charged an 11-year-old girl with the murder and child cruelty and the death of a toddler that she was babysitting. Now, they hadn't released the child's name, but the girl was taken to the juvenile youth detention center in Fulton County, and she's being charged as an adolescent right now, but they're trying to figure out if they can charge her as an adult. She's only 11, but she beat the shit out of the child. There's bruises on the child's face, back, and butt.
Mm.
She basically beat the child to death.
Yeah, it makes me sick.
My question is, why would you leave an 11-year-old
Thank you.
In charge of a 2-year-old?
Thank
and
you.
An 11-year-old has no business trying to babysit a 2-year-old. They're a baby themselves.
It's
I mean, I remember
things,
when I was little,
years.
I used to babysit when I was 12.
I'm not trying to take up for what she did. I'm just saying, like, you know, somebody wasn't really thinking in that whole scenario.
Aaron hit it on the nose. Mm-hmm. Aaron hit it on the nose. I was going to say that, you know, because everything I say is generally black and white, and even though they say things aren't black and white.
Mm-hmm.
I used to remember when I was 11, 12, And the white kids were like, I'm babysitting for money this week. And I was like, shit, my mom wouldn't give me a key to get in the house.
I mean, I used to watch my brother when we were, I was 12, and he was, I mean, it was nothing but a thing to come home, and especially around the summertime, I would watch him, we would walk to the Taco Bell. I mean, it was nothing but a thing to do that.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to, hold on, well, we're about to finish the news segment, but I got to do it. I got to bring in my girl, the beautiful, the fabulous adult film star and my guest to the show right now. I hope she's ready because she's on right now. Hey, Miss Jackson.
Hello.
How's
can
it going,
you hear
dog?
Me?
Yes, I can hear you. Fine.
I'm doing
great. All right. Now, okay. You have jumped into the fire, so before we introduce you formally, I got to ask you a question. I'm going to ask you two of them. What do you think about your boy Bishop Eddie Long and the Longfellows messing with the men and the little boys at his church down here in Atlanta?
Oh, man, I haven't heard about that, to be honest.
First off, yeah.
Man, I came in the middle of a conversation. I think you were talking about it, but I haven't heard about that.
Girl, I'm telling
honestly.
You, Bishop Eddie Long, there's
you'll have to enlighten me.
I'm going to enlighten you. There's been a suit that's filed that basically says that these two men that basically Bishop Eddie Long and Longfellow's ministry, that's the name of his ministry, Longfellow's, that they have been messing with the little – I'm just saying, I can't make this up. You can't make it up. Now, they have been messing with the men and it's one of those mega churches. Let me ask you, Ms. Diamond Jackson, do you go to a mega church?
No, I don't.
Good. Because they've pointed you out. They've pointed you out.
Oh, yeah. What do you do?
Ma'am, get up here and tell us your story. What has the Lord delivered you from? Well,
I'm not messing with no little boy. That's for sure.
Thank you. And that's the point. Exactly, and that's the point, Diamond. It's when we have these situations, the people who always tell you what you're doing is wrong, and I can't believe you're doing that, and blah blah blah. Those are the people who are usually doing the worst that you could possibly think of. When I was stripping at Guys and Dolls, I was afraid that my parents and they saved friends would find out about it, and then I realized, wait a minute, some of my parents and they saved friends are patrons. Stay up in here.
Yeah.
And then I started realizing I stopped caring what they thought because most of the people are doing what I do. They just hiding and lying about it. So I felt better. Miss Jackson, welcome to the show, and thank you for joining. And guys, if you don't know again, this is Miss Diamond Jackson. And I did my research because the only reason I was doing research before you came on was because I like to make sure that all my guests feel at home.
Oh,
so for 12 hours yesterday, I was just... No, for 12 hours yesterday, I was just watching all your work. And I must I got to say two things. Number one, my right arm and hand have gotten a lot larger.
Okay.
Yeah. And two, I really enjoyed.
I guess we lost. Did he get Tommy?
I just want to say
one of the things that you did.
I love watching your movies. I love.
Oh, thank you.
You are talented.
Well, one of the things that you did was.
Oh, I thank you very much.
Can y'all hear me, Danny?
I'm sorry, guys. Yes, we can now. Yes, we can now.
I'm like, damn.
Because then you fade it out, and we were like, oh.
For a minute.
Oh, well, one of the things you did was Naughty America. I love that one. I enjoyed that one. And we have a lot of questions that people wanted to ask you, and we also got a lot of people on the line who want to ask you some questions as well. So we want to get right into it. But I want you to introduce yourself.
Okay.
Let people know who you are. Let people know some things about you, and then I'm going to just go right into the question.
Okay. Well, hello, everybody, and thanks so much for having me on the show, Thomas. I appreciate that. And I'm, of course, Diamond Jackson, adult film actress. I started out by basically being a cam model in the adult industry, and
And the companies, you know, make a long story short, the companies saw me doing some cam modeling online, and they started asking me to shoot for them. And that's when I started my career. And my site is diamondjackson.com. So,
and I've been
a little bit.
Nice.
So I won't just. I mean, I could go keep going, going, going. But I'll let you guys ask the questions and everything.
No,
so
I've visited the site. It's a very nice site. You do very good work. And a couple of questions that people wanted me
Thank
to ask
you.
Before I get into it. They wanted to ask one. What were some of the things that made you get into the industry? Was it something that you wanted to get into, or was it happenstance?
Well, one of the things is I graduated from a Christian academy from high school. So I wasn't a mega church, no, I'm kidding. So after I graduated from high school, I went to a modeling agency and started modeling, doing runway. I also did that when I was in high school because I liked it. And then I said, okay, well, I need to learn it professionally, and it's something I want to do. And then I started out doing television work, and I went to school for television productions. And I went to school for personal training and got a degree in sports medicine. And I enjoyed that and everything else. But then I was doing a lot of the television still and the acting and things on that nature. And then I answered an ad that wanted a model, a lingerie and swimsuit model. And when I went for the job, I went to my office that they said would be my office and where I would be at, and there was a bed and a computer. And they said I would be, no, I was like, okay, a bed.
That sounds like a first.
No, I know. Say hello. But no one actually, I didn't have to do the casting couch thing, but I was kind of, dumb to all this because I'm like, okay, well, why do you need the bed? And they said, well, you're going to be modeling on the bed and lingerie and footwear. And I said, okay, that's fine. So I go in there and I'm modeling, outfits that they've given me because I didn't have any and that I didn't think I needed to bring. And so then some guy comes into a private chat, and he's, like, talking and talking for a long time. And then he's finally like, can you take off your clothes? And I'm like, what? because I modeled the outfit. And I'm like, take off my clothes. And I'm thinking, well, why? And then an admin came in the room who worked for the company and said, you need to take your clothes off. He said, you need to get naked. And I said, oh, no, I didn't know that. And so I'm figuring, I've done modeling before. I've done print work. I've done national commercials. I've done different things. And so I said, fine, I'll get naked. And then I go ahead and I got naked. And then, I'm looking at the balance, and the balance is just going up. The money's just getting higher and higher. There's hundreds of dollars in there. And I've only been talking to this guy for a little bit of time. And this was like in 2001 when I first started cam modeling. And so I'm thinking, okay. And so I keep going on, and then the guy's like, okay, well, can I see your, I don't know if I could say that on
Girl,
here.
Girl, yes, you can say it. Say it, damn it. We're all waiting with our oiled up genitalia and waiting on you to finish this story so we can finish our call.
Oh, my Lord. Okay, y'all make it now. He's like, can I see your foot? Can I see your, yes. And I said, yes, you can. I said, well, whatever. I was like, I'm thinking, what is it? And so, and then the admin comes back in and says, do you have any toys? You got to play with yourself and blah, blah. I'm like, I didn't know anything like this. So I'm thinking, what the fuck is this? That's what I was thinking in my mind. He's like, well, you have a toy. You need a toy. I said, I don't have any toys. He goes, well, use your finger. I'm thinking, and I'm looking at that money, and I'm looking at, okay, my fingers. I'm like, okay, so I was trying to play myself, and that's how I got started in doing the adult business, and I enjoyed it because I enjoyed talking to people and having a good time and getting off, of course, because I used to masturbate before I,
exactly.
did any of that, so.
You know, I'm not going to lie. I played at home, but I didn't have toys with me.
It's like paying me to watch football on Sunday.
But it was all good. It was gravy then. I was like, okay, I can do this. And then I decided, you know, I found out that I was paying so much money to, you know, the people that were, you know, actually owned the site. I thought, okay, well, I might as well do this myself instead of walking into a studio. I might as well do this at home. And so I decided, I was in Colorado, and I decided to move to Florida because I wanted to go somewhere warm. It was either going to be California or Colorado because I, you know, wanted somewhere warm. I was tired of the snow. So I said, okay, fine. Florida. I've never been there. I was born in California, so I might as well go there. And then I said, you know, got a house here, you know, was doing very well. And then I decided I built a studio in my home, and I've been working from home ever since. And then I, you know, started basically just, you know, doing the movies. And it's all been great and wonderful. Enjoy it. And I'm nappy. And I enjoy being nappy.
Exactly. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go to a break, and we're going to come back with more of Miss Diamond Jackson, and we're also going to come back with more of today's topic, which is booty call protocol, which is an appropriate topic to have you in on, because I would definitely love to have your thoughts, Miss Jackson, on what you think of some protocol which should go along with booty calls. So, ladies and gentlemen, stick around. We'll be back with more of Miss Jackson, your questions, and more on the topic in just a moment.
After working here for a few years, I knew it was time to move on. But I wasn't the only one trying to start their career, and everyone else was way more qualified. When I finally found a job I could get, I was pretty much back where I started. Then I saw a commercial for Westwood College and decided to give them a call. At Westwood, I got my bachelor's degree in just 3 years. I got career training in the classroom, and they helped me build my resume. So when I graduated, I had everything I needed to finally start my career.
Start your career with a bachelor's degree from Westwood College. Graduate in just 3 years with the tools you'll need to start a career in design, justice, technology, healthcare, or business, including construction management. Call now for your free career success kit and learn about the careers and salaries that could be yours with a Westwood College degree. Online classes are available.
Hey, ladies, let me get your attention for a second. Now, I know this is a topic not typically discussed around us fellas, but you know it's all about the sharing. So to all those divas interested in Remy hair, not just any Remy hair or so-called Remy, but the actual 100% virgin, non-processed Indian Remy hair, then this is for you. We have just received an exclusive opportunity with Ambassador Essentials, which is one of the few companies that has a direct buy into several Indian temples to offer its beautiful, luxurious, 100% virgin Indian hair in naturally straight, wavy, or curly textures. Because Ambassador Essentials does not deal with several middlemen, they are able to provide a high-quality product at an affordable price. Now, fellas, this can benefit us too. Ambassador Essentials is looking for independent distributors to help market this feature product. They are committed to engaging, assisting, and training all those who are interested in joining as partners. Many of you have mothers, sisters, cousins, or friends that are buying Remy hair. Why shouldn't they get it from us? Let's keep it in the family. In today's competitive market, a majority of the so-called human hair for sale by beauty supply stores and some online realtors is low quality. Well, Ambassador Essentials is providing access to the best. For more information, call us at 1-800-979-3944 or go online at ambassadoressentials.com. Ambassador Essentials, that's AmbassadorEssentials, you heard me, .com. Ambassador Essentials, where beauty is our business, and we're taking it back.
I have a structured settlement, and I need cash now.
Call J.J. Wentworth, 877-CASH-NOW.
I have an annuity.
then to you. If you get long-term payments but you need cash now,
call J.C. Wexler in the 877-CASH-NOW.
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 877-CASH-NOW. It's your money. Use it when you need it.
Call J.C. Wexler.
Hello, ladies. How are you? Fantastic. Does your man look like me? No. Can he smell like me? Yes. Should he use Old Spice body wash? I don't know. Do you like the smell of adventure? Do you want a man who smells like he can bake you a gourmet cake in the dream kitchen he built for you with his own hands? Of course you do. Swan dive into the best night of your life. So, ladies. Should your man smell like an Old Spice man? You tell me.
Hey, baby, is that you?
Yes, baby, I'm home.
Wait a minute. You just went to the beauty salon a few hours ago. But wow, you look great.
I know. I decided to try this place my friend told me about called Ladies of Elegance. You know, the home of the tree braids.
Yeah, I heard about that. But what are tree braids?
Well, tree braids are a unique, low-maintenance, yet elegant style technique that can be worn by women with natural or chemically altered hair. It can also promote hair growth and can last from up to 6 to 8 weeks. And the best part is that it usually takes 3 to 4 hours to do.
Wow, baby. You look fantastic. But I just got one question for you.
What's that, baby?
Can I pull it? Ladies of Elegance Salon, Spa, and Product Line are family-owned companies that take a personal commitment in helping women enhance themselves with simple elegance. So check them out on the web at www.ladiesofelegance.com. That's www.ladiesofelegance.com. Or dial 404-890-5695. That's 404-890-5695. For employment opportunities as well as appointment set. Ladies of Elegance, helping you find a more beautiful you.
Hello?
Stop asking hello, because what?
I'm sorry.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Your World, My Views. I'm your host, Mr. Mel Gibson. And I got Lindsay Lohan. And I got Diamond Jackson with me.
I don't like that name, by the way.
Lindsay, you don't like being Lindsay? Well, I don't like being Mel Gibson, and I don't like niggas. So we're going to go from
there. Wow.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I know, right? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Trash Talking Tuesday edition of the show. And we have the very beautiful Miss Diamond Jackson. Miss Diamond, you have been getting so many compliments inside of our live chat. They are gushing over you.
Yeah, I'm trying to get there. Oh, that's just me. Thank you. I'm trying to get over there. I was trying on my, I'm still trying to get over there.
That's all right. They are waiting on you to get in there. They are. You have created, I sent them one of your movies. You have created a lot of sticky keys on laptops right now. A lot of people can't press S's and F's. they're just stuck.
Hey, that's good. That's all good. Good for me.
Yes, it is. And some of them had some questions, and there was a question that I want to ask. I'm going to let Jag ask you a question right after I ask this question from a Mr. Jay Walls. And Mr. Jay Walls wanted to ask you, what is the most memorable scene you have ever done on set before? Like the one that you remember most, if you had to... They put a gun up to you. If they put a dick up to your head and say, you better remember which one.
If they put a dick up to my head, I wouldn't probably remember. I'd just be looking at that dick. Like, what scene? So I would have to say, if it was a gun, I had a really good time with C.J. Wright. Which is a really good, really good scene. Very good.
Okay.
He definitely knows how to please a woman, I would say.
And that's one of the things I wanted to ask you about. But I'm going to let one of my people in studio, Miss Jaguar Mills, who is our resident truck stop booty bandit, because that's what she does. She walk around with a strap on. She does. And go to the truck stops at the Pilots down here in Georgia, little Pilot gas stations, and she will run in your ass real quick. That's what you spent a whole week away from. You spent a whole week away from us from us.
First
with a
all,
damn dildo and a
Georgia.
Man you met at a truck stop.
In Florida, thank you very much.
Yeah, that's how you got across the state line in that 18-wheeler, but ask your damn question.
My question is, does your family know, are they aware of, like, what your profession is? And if they do, what was it like actually telling them that you're getting ready to go into the adult film industry?
That's a great question, first off. Well, a question that you didn't let me tell, that's not the fucking question she wrote down.
Well, I know,
see, I don't like being shocked like this, first off. So you, I don't like go ahead and answer Diamond. I'm just letting you know that's what a nigga do. They're just gonna do what they wanna do, not what they wrote. Go ahead.
First of all, don't be upset don't be embarrassed or anything, because I am a butt monkey too. I like ass. But
thank you. I feel so much better now since I've been certified. Thank you.
it works. But no, my family, at first I did not, you know, let them know, because I was doing the actual cam modeling, and then I knew that they would probably find out when I started doing the films and everything. So I basically said, okay, I went and I had to kind of get it to where I was okay with it myself, because so many people feel like it's a bad thing. And since I graduated from a Christian academy, like I said before, it was very hard for me to tell them, but I did. And they didn't like it at first. And you know how Black people can be when it comes to, you know, oh, you know, you're going to hell.
Exactly.
You know, sex is supposed to be with your, with you and your significant other, blah, 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 or whatever, and doing it, that's so nasty, and all those kind of things I had to hear. But then, you know, I'm like, well, this is what I do, and there's, you know, not going to change it. And then we kind of didn't speak for a little bit, and then it got to the point where, you know, I just kept, you know, calling and talking. And then they said, you know, well, as long as what we worry about, mainly the main thing we worry about is you catching something.
Yeah.
You know, if you catch something and, you know, if you what if you get this? I'm like, what if you walk outside and get hit by a truck? You know, what if, you know, as I'm asking them, you know, and you can't sit there and think about all these what ifs. And everybody that you get with in normal life, I never asked a guy, you know, before we fuck, can I see your HIV test, or have you been tested, or da da da. You know, I know they say the young, you know, little teenagers should ask that question or whatever, which they shouldn't, some of them shouldn't probably be fucking yet anyway. But
exactly.
Since they are, they're going out there, you know, no one's going to sit there and say, can I see your test? And you're just going to probably, you know, try and use, you know, a condom or whatever. But that doesn't help nowadays, because if you suck a guy's dick, you suck it, then you might get herpes or something else. So it's not like it's all safe. So we go get tested every 20 days, every, you know, month we get tested. So I would say that we're still just, you know, just as much safe as the general public, because this person's getting tested once a month. And so it helps to stop outbreaks. There's not point to it.
No girl has ever asked me, whip out your paperwork, dog. Whip out your paperwork. They've never asked me.
Exactly. That's it. You know, it's like, and so that's how I see it, you know, definitely. But I guess that's the only thing that worries
me. Aaron, do you have any questions you'd like to ask? Because I know Aaron is a porn connoisseur.
I am. I sure am. I guess, you know, I'm trying to see if there's any questions in the chat that people wanted asked.
Well, I know one of the questions that people wanted to ask was, is it difficult having sex with a boyfriend opposed to having sex with a fellow porn star? Like, if you're having sex with your, is it more difficult to have sex with the porn, someone in a porn setting, or say you and I go on a date after the show to my place.
Mm-hmm.
Would it be?
Yeah, are you in a relationship?
Sure.
I mean, are you in a relationship?
Oh, no, actually, I'm not. It is harder to have a relationship when you're in the business because,
sure,
you know, you gotta say, hi, baby, I'm going to go fuck, you know, this girl or this guy today, and they're wanting you to quit. I must admit, there are some people that if it's worked out before, it can work. You just have to find that person where it works. Because I have sex with a lot of guys that have, and women that have families, you know, whole family, lots of kids, and they live the dream or whatever. And it's just normal to them. It's just a job. But to go out and say, I would say it's harder for me to want to just say, okay, hey, come on, or Thomas, let's fuck, than it is to just go on set and, hi, how you doing? Shake hands and, all right, what do you like? What do you not like? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Because you're more intimate in that situation. I just met this person 9 times out of 10, and, you know, and some, you get to work with other people again and again sometimes, but you still really don't know them, and I really don't hang out with a lot of porn stars, number one, is because I don't live in California as much, and plus I'm always busy. My life has a lot of demands on it with my own business and different things that I run, you know, besides
mm-hmm.
everything else that I do. So it's a lot of work for me. I do editing. I basically, you know, I can shoot things. I can do a lot of things from my past, having a television show in the past when I used to be the executive producer of my own shows. So there's so much that that I have to do, and so much on my plate, that also it's hard for me to be in a relationship because you have to have that time to spend with somebody. You have to have quality time, because as years go by, people change, and if you're not sitting there trying to get to know somebody and so
yes.
I have to spark all the time, well, it's a lot rougher. And that's why I said, if I was to go out on a date with you, I'm like, oh, maybe I'm liking him, and oh, my feelings are involved, and the guy on the set is, okay, let's fuck, let's get off.
Damn it, I gotta make sure I put you on the set. Let me ask you this: do you feel at any point the idea of being like oversexed? Because I was wondering from this aspect: say if you're in a relationship, like if I paint houses, mm-hmm. when I come home, I'm not trying to have my girl say, "Will you paint my house?" I've been painting houses all day, bitch. I'm going to sleep. Okay, if you've been fucking all day and you come home to Thomas and I'm like, woo, girl, I had a long day at IBM. I want some head. You're like, I don't want to suck your dick. I've been doing that for 8, 9, 10 hours. I mean, do you think that would ever come about that you don't want to fuck because that's what you do for a living? Or do you just really, really like sex? To where you ain't really you can still please your man as well.
I guess I would say that I really, really like sex, and I could still please my man or woman as well.
Ooh, shout out to women, which is another question they wanted to ask you. People wanted to ask you, do you enjoy doing work with girls or guys?
Yes, I do. Well, of course, I like to be fucked because a woman can't really. Fuck me. I mean, she has to have a strap-on, but no one has ever done a strap-on on me because I'm more dominant. I've done strap-ons on women and men. So I would probably be the dominant one there.
I'm open to a lot of stuff. Just not that one. You got to know. You can't go in my back door. Hell no. That thing got ADT on it. Anytime you go in the back door, the alarm go off, all kind of shit. Woo, the police will show up. You like, oh, my God. I'm telling you, you can't do that
but
to
I'll
me.
Kill.
Now,
I'll kill you, even when you're screaming. You're screaming and going off and setting off. I'll kill you.
Oh, my God.
Ooh, see, you one of them. You trying to rape a nigga. See, you like, you went to the Longfellow. we're going to bring in one of the callers who want to talk to you. I know Mr. Reggie is shocked to be on the line. Mr. Reggie, what's going on from the 618?
Not much.
I'm a big fan of Diamond. What's up?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Pretty good. I'm
good.
Basically, I follow you on Twitter. My name is Twithar on there, and so I can communicate with you there. And I had a question for you. What's your favorite position?
Oh, my favorite position. I'm sorry, it was cutting out a little bit. My favorite position is all positions, and the reason why I say that is it depends on who's fucking me.
Uh-huh.
Because not every guy can do doggy very well. Not every guy can do missionary very well. It's just kind of like how you get your dick sucked. Not every girl can suck a dick really well. So you might say, damn, I like oral better best today because she's sucking my dick so good, you know. But it just depends on who's fucking me and what I'm doing, you know, positions.
Yeah.
But I like all positions.
Okay, so do you ever... I like to give ladies doggy style.
Oh, like a doggy? Oh, I like that. That'll work.
You're about to get me all heated. Now, let me ask you, Reggie, like, how long have you known about Miss Jackson? How long have you been, like, a fan of hers?
I would say about a year, because I watch her movies, and I checked out her Pixie website before.
Ah, good deal. Now, if you had one more question that you wanted to ask her, and if you stick around and during the after show, we'll allow people to ask her more questions, too, but I'll give you one more shot at a question. Go ahead, ask.
I appreciate that. Do you ever, like... throat?
Yes, I have. And gagging, yes. I just did a movie, The Companion, and I was deep throating and that, gagging, spitting, all that good stuff. I don't ever vomit, because that's just not my thing. But
that's
I do
just
like
something
to
get
throat.
Me to kick you off the set. I would kick you off the set. Reggie, I'll bring you back in on the after show, Reggie. Good question. I just want to say this. There was a chick who did. I've only had one chick do it to me. And Diamond, I'm weird. Like, I had one chick do the spitting thing, and I always tell them the story. See, I was raised in a household where my mama would slap me in the back of the head for spitting on the ground. So by the time I got grown, spitting is nasty. So this girl was doing the business, and she just said, pfft. And I looked at her like, the hell did you just do? Like, I was disgusted. Like, she just spit on me. And I was like, it took me a while to get used to that idea. But my ex loved to, like, choke herself on, like, giving me head. She would, like, grab my hand and make me force her head down so she'd choke herself. What is that something that you enjoy doing, or is it just something you do because it's a part of the script?
I don't know. I just kind of like to stick it as far down my throat as I could get it. Maybe I'm greedy. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, we need to talk after the show. I'm going to bring in another caller. Mr. Jay Wallen from the 917. I think that's in New York area, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
What's up, Jay?
Hello. Yeah, I'm cool.
I can barely hear you, Jay. You are talking in a can. I did not know they still sold those. Jay don't hook the string. Jay, you don't hook the string up. Man, I can't hear you, man. You either masturbate or you talk. I can hear you now. There you go.
Oh my God. it's not being online. I'm a very big fan of her, and I would like to ask her a question. I don't know if she's okay with the question.
We ask and we talk. Ask away.
Okay. What's the most humiliating scene she has ever shot on set? I want to know.
Oh, wow. Did you hear that, Diamond?
Can you tell me what he said? No.
He said, what is the most humiliating? He said, what is the most humiliating scene you've ever done? Something you've done that you said, I don't think I'll do that again. Or you felt bad about doing it. You didn't like it.
Wow, that is a good question because I really haven't. I have to really think about it because I really haven't had anything that I really did not want to do, honestly. I would say when I first started shooting, and I would say that was embarrassing. I wouldn't say I was humiliated by it, but, when the sex gets good and you start letting out gas, he farted and whatnot. I was like, oh, shit. And he just kept going. Every time he started hitting it hard, it was just blowing up. And the best part about it is the cameraman was up, right up in our fire area, right up on that,
right.
The guy's at the top. And I'm in missionary laying down. And the other guy's like right on top of me. He's right up in the crack, and he just fart right up in his. He just kept going, and he's like, okay. He had to change positions on that one.
He's
but
like,
that
okay,
was pretty bad.
She is smoking me out. We got to move. Jay, stick around for the after show. We'll bring you back in on the after show. Those are some pretty good questions. What we're going to do is we're going to let them ask you some more questions towards the end of the show and the after show. But right now we're going to get into the topic and ask you some questions about that, which is the topic of the show is booty call protocol. And the reason I did that show is because I've been having a rash of people call me at my house past 12 o'clock. And I have a rule. I don't care how good you look or how good the ass is. You can't call me past 12 o'clock midnight. You just can't do it. I don't care how horny I am. I won't pick up the phone, and I'll call you the next day and cuss your ass out. Because one of the things I believe in, you can be a booty. I'm just serious. Well, you can be a booty call, but you got to let me know sometime during the day, because I don't want to be that last-minute person or that club person. You leaving the club and you drunk and you don't have nobody else to fuck, so you call me. I think my dick is very good, and I ration it out as such. So, therefore, you can't just call me at any time and get it. This dick has to be on reserve. You got to reserve this dick. That's how it works. So that's one of my booty call. That's one of my booty call protocols. Do you believe that there should be a protocol to, even if you're just going to be somebody's booty call, that you have to set some rules? And if so, what are some rules that you have, Ms. Jackson?
I believe that if you're that type of person, that, yeah, you should set some rules. Some people do not mind being called in the middle of the night to get some. It just depends on who you are. And for me, if I'm asleep, I'm probably like you, I won't be getting the phone. And because, number one, if I do wake up, my hair is all messed up, my breath is hawking, and I really don't want to fuck anybody at that time, you know, so it would probably not be a good thing, and I'm pretty much sweating, and so, no, I probably would not want to do it in the middle of the night. Now, somebody called me, and I knew the person, because I get a lot of booty calls from people I don't even know. I don't even really understand how people in a chat room can say you have their name up, and then they say, can I fuck you and whatnot? Can I have your number? I don't even know you. How am I going to know you when I see you when all I know is, like, you know, Jaguar or something?
Name.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I don't even. That's the kind of thing I really don't like. I'm not going to, I mean, I meet you at the airport, and I'm looking, are you Jaguar in the chat room of, people are not going to, I'm not going to know them. So that's what bothers me. But if I feel like if I know who you are, and since I do what I do, I have to know the person for a while, because I do come across crazy people. But people that I do know, and they just want to fuck, I would fuck them, because I probably would be dying for a fuck, since I only get sex in movies. And then I'm
you and me gonna have
voice.
To talk after the
so
damn
would...
show. We are gonna have to talk. We're gonna have to make this. We're gonna have to work this out. But that's one of the things I wanted to ask, because I believe that people should have just some idea. And one of a few of the other questions I was that about in the show is there anything wrong with having a relationship such as a booty call, that's all you are with a guy, that's it. You don't go to the movies. You don't go to the park. That's what it is. Can and should a booty call ever evolve into more? And can somebody truly be happy in that type of relationship where they're just in a booty call?
I think you
situation?
Can. I think you can. If you the only I think you can, because of the fact of the matter is you have to know where you stand and where the other person stands. Now, it may evolve into something else. It just depends on the two people. But you have to understand that when you go into it, it is what it is.
Exactly. But a lot of people try to mistake it. Yeah, but a lot of people will mistake it or try to change the situation, meaning, and I don't know if you've seen this happen, where girls will, you know, they'll give a man sex under the understanding that it's just sex, and then the next thing you know,
They will try to change it, and now it's, well, I thought we were in a relationship, or I've been fucking you this long, we should be dating. It's kind of like women, once they date you for a while, they say, well, you've been dating me this long, we should be married. And I'm like, why does this time limit mean that something has to change when I thought this is what we were in the beginning? Have you seen that happen?
Yeah, but see, then that's their fault, because it wasn't that type of relationship to begin with, and that's when you got to do the talking. You can't talk when you're fucking. Oh, you can say nasty things, but I mean, you can't really get into a real conversation. And if you want it to be something else, then you got to communicate. I'm really starting to have some feelings for you. However, and then you just, you know, you let them know. You know what I mean? I mean, that's the one thing I think that people miss, is that things are what they are. And if you don't get it, then you need to talk about it. And then that other person, if they're unhappy, then they can go. They can leave. If they are happy with what it is, then let's keep going at it. And I think that that's all it is, too. And I think people try to put too much thought into situations. And that's, if you guys got into a relationship as a booty call, and the lady just says, well, we should be married by now, or we should be moving on. And you say, well, I'm not ready for that, and she can't accept that because this is how we got into this relationship, and bye-bye. You know, that's how it goes.
Now, my fabulous board operator said she has a question for you. She'd like to jump in and ask a question. So, Ms. Moore, are you there?
All right.
I'm here.
All right, what was the question you'd like to ask?
I don't have a question. I have statements I would like to make to Ms. Diamond. I want to say thank you so much for coming on the show. I think it is really nice, because these guys, I'm telling you, they are on the line. They feel so special. Just to be able to, I'm telling you, just to be able to hear your voice, and they've been waiting on you, and there's nothing wrong with that. And I know people say, you know, porn actress, porn star, and I can tell you, and I put in the chat, I have never been so entertained as I am tonight with just listening to you and in the chat, and these guys calling and talking, saying that they're waiting to talk to you. And I just think it's really nice for you to take time out of your schedule and just to be a part of the show and take questions from these guys. That's really nice. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I thank you guys for taking, you know, letting me do the show and letting me be a part of it. And I just love them all. I mean, it's great. This is the kind of thing that lets people that don't even, you know who I am, know who I am. So it's like a win-win situation. And I'm so glad that you guys are,
I'm just sitting here. I'm so excited. Damn, I'm excited. I'm like, this is awesome. I'm so excited just to hear their voices and talk to you. It's very nice. Thank you.
And it's like when I discuss with you, I know you are a person of the people, because I know when I first hit you up, you were very accommodating. You were like, you know what, I'll do that. So all you guys that are out there listening, she is a very, very sweet woman, a very down-to-earth woman, because she didn't know me from Adam. All she knew was that I was fine on my pictures. That was it.
That booty.
Exactly. You know, you were talking about some booty, so let me see where this goes. Let me see where it goes. But
I know where it goes.
I want to go to Aaron for a second. Aaron, I want to ask you, Aaron, have you ever, be honest, because you know this is what we do on the show, have you ever been somebody's booty call or had somebody as a booty call? Be honest.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, but I think that, let me tell you, I used to be a firm believer in the BC, like right around college-ish. And now, I mean, I'm not so much a fan, you know, I'm kind of over it. But I was a giver and a receiver, you know, the whole gamut. But there's rules. And I love how Diamond said, you know, you got to make it very, very clear. You know what I mean? Like your intentions, you know, you don't do the baby talk with the kid, you know, no.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what are some of your rules if somebody wants to have you as a POC?
Who
puts it on call?
Well, I am nobody's currently. But
I said if they wanted you to. Well, you know, because we all going to pretend that we are nobody's booty call right now. I got a few booty calls that's calling right now that's pissed off. But
fuck them.
They
booty
call.
Rules. My rules are, you know, no emotional talk. You know, and you know, quite frankly, no dirty talk either. Say my name. No. How about you shut the hell up and go home? You know what I mean? Like, how about we not do that whole, you know?
Wait a minute. You fucking up the booty call. So your booty call is bland as hell. All you can do is look at the ceiling. Look at the ceiling, nigga. Don't look at me. Look at the ceiling.
Well, no, and I mean, you know, there's no sleeping over, no, you know. No falling asleep afterwards. No, well, I mean, I don't know. It depends on how long I've known you.
I like
but, you
kissing.
Know.
I kiss a bitch at the club. I just met at the bar. I'm a kisser.
But one thing
I'm
will tell
Richard
you I've
Dawson
done.
I'm the Richard Dawson of 2010.
No, but one thing I will tell you I've done, and this is a no-no. You don't call the person, you know, a couple weeks later if it was pretty good and do, like, social outings. And that. See, it has not worked for me to kind of take
yes.
it. From the bedroom to the street, you know what I'm saying? No. That was just not. Mm-mm. And you know what? If you suffer from any sort of erectile dysfunction, you need to handle that and don't bother me. You know what I mean? Handle that first, and then don't even
so
try
wait
to call.
Wait. I gotta ask you. You gotta elaborate. You've had somebody get in the bed with you and they couldn't get it up.
Oh, I got some stories. Yes. Well, bodybuilders, number one, everybody knows that, you know, you get on that shit and you can't get it up, period. So, I mean, don't even lie. Some of you have that problem, and it just is not cute.
Damn
it,
man.
Yeah.
You got a little dick
and
you can't get it up. That's
right,
messed up.
Right?
Your dick is small and it won't get up.
Yeah.
That's why I don't go in the gym that much. I go in there just enough to tone. I'm like, I don't need all that other shit. I got too much dick to waste. Now, what I want to do is, I'm just saying, I get a lot of people mad if I got on steroids. We're going to go to another phone caller because we want to talk about the subject, and you also can talk to Ms. Jackson. We're going to bring in my man, Keith. What's going on, Keith?
Good evening, porn folks.
What's happening, sir?
I find this incredibly interesting. One, because I've always wanted to know the proper protocols for booty call. And number two, I've always wanted to ask a porn star about actually being a porn star. And both of those things have happened today.
All right. Now, if we can get you some pussy by the end of the show, you will be a trifecta happiness. Go ahead.
Well, okay. First of all, my question to Jaguar is really about porn. I have Diamond. I'm so sorry.
All Jag can tell you about is fucking some man at the truck stop in the ass. That's pretty much what she do, but go ahead.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
God.
I knew the truck stop booty bandit questions I'll save for Thursday. what I was going to ask is that with this whole, you know, doing porn thing, and I have this theory that because so many people have actually watched so much porn, there are a lot of people who are really, really bad at sex. And I think because it seems like people nowadays just kind of like they watch a lot of porns and they do just kind of what they see in the porn. Now, you being somebody who actually is, I guess, a sexual performance expert, you know, would kind of be able to say, you know, what is it like when, you know, you get somebody who has just basically just seen what you do in porn and tries to imitate it? Is that something that's still something that still arouses you, or is that something that just seems like it's a really strange question?
Good question. Basically, you want to know if you get somebody home, if somebody gets you home and they want you to perform how they saw you instead of actually a regular act.
Yeah, I would say it would still get me off because of the fact of the matter is, you know, if I'm going home to, are you asking if I'm going home to make love to someone that is my significant other, or am I just going home with some booty call? Is that what you're asking?
You know, a significant
it depends.
It could be a significant other or a significant other for the hour. I mean, that's okay.
I would say probably if he wanted to do that, to me it would be a role play. So I would be up for that. But if that's the only way he wanted to have sex with me, and because I love this person, to me that would not fulfill me if we get that every time. Doing it, you know, and making things different, it's fine. But I'm the type of person that, you know, I don't like sex the same way every time. I don't want to be always on my back. I don't always want to be in the bed. I like it a little different. I like it to be spontaneous. So if he said, yeah, I want you to do me like you did that guy right there, I'm like, okay, shit, I can do that, you know, and I would be happy to do it. Yeah, but I do agree with you that that a lot of people think that watching a porn movie is how they're supposed to please their woman or their man or whatever, and that's not so, because lovemaking is totally different than fucking, and porn is about pretty much about fucking. It is not really about lovemaking, unless you're watching maybe some of those Cinemax movies that are, you know, appealing to most women. That's more about a storyline, and it's more lovemaking and things like that. It has a lot of feelings to go with it, lovemaking. So, you know, I would say that a lot of people would need to know that, no, a lot of people, that's why they can't have good sex, because I've run into some guys that think that, okay, I just want to tie you up, you know, bang you and then pound your ass.
Right,
and they
right.
think that, okay, well, that's going to make me really, you know, have some feelings for you. No. So I really think that they need to learn what that woman likes. You need to learn your partner and their body, you know, and what they enjoy, and that's going to be able to keep you to having a great sex relationship.
Cool. Next question for you. You know, you were, after having sex with some of these guys who are just really, I mean, quite huge. I mean, they're almost their own tripods. I mean, is that like kind of having, I mean, since you're having sex with a whole bunch of really fit people, I mean, a lot of the time, I mean, is that like having sex with a thoroughbred? And then if you go back to somebody regular, it's just kind of like a really depressing thing.
The size matter is what he's asking.
Yeah, I would say no, size does not matter, because some of the guys that I'll answer both of those. Size does not matter to me, because some guys can fuck better than other guys, even if they're smaller. And if it stretches you, it does not stretch you. One thing is, your pussy is a muscle. If you're constantly fucking guys with big dicks, yeah, well, your pussy will probably not be tight. You know, it just won't, because you've been fucking a lot of big guys. But if you stop fucking guys, like I was with a guy that was 14 inches, and it was crazy. So, and to be able to, but it took a while for me to just be able to fuck and say, okay, this is all right, this is good. But then after I hadn't been with him for years, and if I'm with someone that's smaller, then, you know, it tightens back up. And so you're like, okay, I got to wait till, you know, it gets a little, you know, bigger. It's just kind of like, what did we do for anal? A lot of girls, some girls say that they don't prep for it, but we have to, you know, prep for anal, because it's a muscle. Your ass is still a muscle, so you have to, you know, some of us have to wear butt plugs and put a butt plug in there and let the muscle stretch the same way as for your pussy. You just got to get used to it. And it just, but it's definitely not to say I've had a big dick yesterday. If I get a smaller dick today, I'm not going to get pleased, because the big dick might have not been good, because the guy might have not fucked you good. And then the smaller dick comes along, and this guy knows how to fuck like crazy, and he's great, and just sets you off. And, I mean, I had one guy, it was Billy Glide on Naughty America. That guy was just, he didn't have the hugest fucking dick, and he just really set me off, because he was licking everywhere. He was going for the pussy. He was licking in the asshole. He was going everywhere. Like,
you
know, I've had guys want to turn you upside down.
So you get turned on a lot by the way that other guys, like the pledge, that someone else seeming like they enjoy sex turns you on, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, that's a good deal. Well, you got me concerned, because once you said 14 inches, and I pride myself on having a lot of dick. I ain't got that much dick. So I done went from, I was going to ask you to marry me. Now I'm just going to ask you to pass some tissue or something, give me some chewing gum.
because I can't follow that act. That's like watching the damn Ringling Brothers and then going to the Universal Circus.
Lexington still was 11 inches, and, you know, he was pretty big and thick, so when it was, I had to get used to that again, but after we got going, opened up, he picked me up, you know, like, if someone picks you up, like, straight, I was in doggy, and so he straightened up my body from doggy, and he picked me up and just, by my, you know, picked me up underneath my shoulders, with my underarm, then he put his hands over my shoulders and slammed me right on his dick.
Oh, wow.
And I was standing straight up. And my legs were hanging and shit. I was like, damn. But it was, it went in. And
I wouldn't know what to do at 14 or something like that. If I had that much dick, I would walk around naked. Like, I'd go up to fucking Burger King and shit and the bank, just dick out.
You'd be in
and
jail.
I would put it up. No, I'm just saying, I don't think the cops would arrest me. They have to use two sets of cuffs. Somebody got to put something on that dick, cuff his dick. They would be so much shit I would do with a big old penis like that. Like, you couldn't tell me nothing. I'm just saying. That's just me. I would just, everybody would. Okay. Maybe it's just me. But I'm going to go bring in some more callers. I'm going to bring in my girl Shanice from the 773. Shanice, what's happening? I ain't calling you that, Cassie, or whatever you said. I'm calling you Shanice.
Okay.
So, what's up?
So ask me a question.
You calling in to talk about the topic, girl? You okay? I'll ask you. Do you have some booty call protocol? What can I or can I not do if I'm trying to make you my booty call? Or do you? What are the rules that you think should go into making Shanice date your booty call?
Oh, okay. Well, if you're going to be the booty call, then I need some money because I'm not sucking for free.
That's not a booty call.
It is for me. You want to have sex, don't you?
I ain't never had to pay for no ass ever.
Well, it's men out there that will. I'm not sucking for free.
I know that they got a name for them, either lames or stars that just have, you know, like Charlie Sheen. Sometimes paying for pussy is more exciting than getting it free.
No, I need the whole shebang. I'd be a damn fool to let a man give me my leg for free. You got to do something.
So nobody's had it for free.
Yeah, when I was young and younger and dumb, didn't know any better.
Once you start selling PlayStations for free, you can't now charge them $200 for it.
But see, if you want quality, you'll pay. Now, if you want to go get with a ghetto chick that might give you a possible trip to the clinic, then go ahead. But if you want quality, you're going to do what you need to do. Now,
right.
back to what I was saying.
Go ahead.
I have rules. Rule number two, you know, I'm no spending the night. Matter of fact, if I come to your house, I'm going to spend the night at your house. I want to go home. Before you can even say, you ready to go, I already got my shit on. I'm waiting on you at the door.
All right, what's rule number three?
Three, don't you call me after 11:35. No calls.
Who are you,
that.
Ted Turner, and it's TBS? Hell is 11:35.
I need time. Like you were saying, I need time. And I don't like to be disturbed after a certain hour. I'm not going to be that convenient. I don't like to be disturbed after a certain hour. I'm not your last choice.
And women look at me like I'm crazy when I do that. I cussed a chick out like a couple days ago, called me at 1, and I didn't answer. So she sent some text talking about she wanted me to come over and she wanted to suck my dick, which is always funny to me. Like, it's weird that somebody just get off by giving head, but that's all she want to do. I just want to suck your dick and then you go home. And that's fine. But you're not going to call me in the 1, 2 in the morning just to do that. First off, I should be asleep. Second off, if I'm any good, I might be with somebody else, so you're disturbing us. What do you do when someone calls you? Yeah, right. What do you do? Because I think it's disrespectful to call me out of the blue, unless we have that understanding. I think it's disrespectful to call me out of the blue trying to get sex from me when I should either be asleep or with somebody else. What do you do in those situations?
I don't answer the phone.
You like me and cuss their ass out? Oh, you don't do like me and cuss them out? Because I cuss them out the next day. I don't answer it that night, but I cuss them out the next day.
No, I don't do nothing. Just ignore the call.
But,
well, you got to tell people when they're wrong. You can't just ignore the call, because then they won't know they're out of line. You know what they're going to think? Maybe you didn't get it. So they're going to try it again. I get them straight.
Well, yeah, you let them straight, but I don't cuss them out because I might need them later on until I find
I got good dick, so I got good dick, so I can say whatever I want to.
Okay, hey, whatever floats your boat. But
I'm just telling you. I can say
rule,
whatever I want.
My other rule is part of the job description is you must be able to lift 114 pounds and you must get oral sex to be my booty call. If you're not going to do those things, we can't mess around. I want you to talk dirty to me. It's part of the rule. You have to.
Okay, so you are one of those people who do the booty call and like people to talk dirty to you. Okay, that's all right. So, because some people say, well, don't talk dirty. And Aaron says she wants you to just not even look at her. She wants you to just lay there and be still, let her do what she's going to do, and then get up and leave. Don't even acknowledge that it just happened.
I don't want you looking at me neither, but I need you to say something.
What's up with
this? When you have oral sex and they want to look at you, what the fuck are you
doing?
No,
okay, now that
for?
Get on my fucking nerves. There is no camera in here. Stop looking at me in my face. I already, Jesus don't want you to do this. And you already wrong.
Oh, my God.
I'm serious. Sometimes when they look at me in my face, I feel bad that I asked you to do that. I'm like, you know, we probably shouldn't be doing this. Because it's funny that we talk about, like, oral sex to a dude. Like, every time we get mad at a woman, you can suck my dick. That's what we talk about, like, it's degrading. So why would you ask your wife or your significant other to do it when you know that if you get mad at somebody, you say, suck my dick?
Wouldn't it be funny? I think us ladies should start a movement. Every time we get mad at somebody, we could just say, eat my pussy.
Right. Or y'all should say y'all work y'all titties off. Like, you know how people say, well, I work my ass off today. Whereas a lot of people don't have enough ass to work off, so they must have had a short shift. Now, you, if you got some, you know, be like, I work my pussy off today. I just want to hear somebody say that in just regular conversation, see what happens. But I'm just a weird cat. Shanice, is there any questions you want to ask Ms. Jackson?
Of course, of course. I love porno style. I wanted to say that first. I love porn.
Thank you. Thank you. Hello,
I just Googled you on Google. You look very nice. Very
thank
nice.
You. Thank you.
That girl said, I Googled you on Google. No, you Googled her on Yahoo. I just
not
tweeted you
kid.
On Facebook.
Don't do that. My question
I'm
is,
sorry.
What made you want to do porn?
It was not something that I wanted to do. It was just something that I fell into. I know that kind of sounds like kind of cop out, but I always loved, I started entertaining people when I was 5 years old. So I always loved to be up in front of people and doing things and whatnot. And then, like, the other thing, I did modeling, I did television work. Cameras was just kind of like, it's just been always like second nature to me. So when I started and they said, you know, give it a try, I liked it because, number one, I like sex, and number two, I like acting. So they kind of fell together. That's how I fell into it. Some people do it for the money, you know. But I actually love sex, and it's just something that if I'm not going to get it, then I just give it to myself. You know, I have vibrators by my bed, and
I know
toy cocks, and just, you know, hey, I got to get mine. And then everybody asks, they always ask me, do you come? Do you really come in the scenes? Well, yeah, because the guy's definitely going to get to come. So I'm going to come at least 2 or 3 times if I can, you know.
Really? Are you one of those people that are hard to come, or is it like it's pretty easy to make you come? Because someone asked a question about you squirting, and I saw that, and I was impressed. You know, I've never seen a woman actually squirt in real life, and I always thought, okay, well, she's just pissing on the man. So you can cure. Answer one of my questions for me. What is that comes out when you're squirting like that, and how do you do it?
Actually, it's kind of like
a buildup of just like kind of when you have a buildup of cum in you. And it is like a buildup of pussy juices, you know, that basically just kind of build all up in you. I mean, you just can push your, you have to know how to push it out. Your abdominal muscles kind of, when it fills up, you just push and it comes right out of your pussy, just pussy juice. I have to really be turning myself on. And so now that I know the feeling, then I basically can do it, not on cue, because guys come into private shows and they're like, can you come like in five, can you squirt in 5 seconds? No, it takes a few minutes. I've gotta be getting, I mean, can you, you know, stroke your dick and come in 5 seconds? I don't think so. No, unless, you know, you're a second man and not a minute man, but. That's the thing. I have to work up to it, and the pussy just keeps filling up, and it just gets so full, and you just keep pushing it out, and I can keep going because I'm multi-orgasmic, so I can orgasm and orgasm as much, because it's like anything. Like, if you learn how to do a backflip, you'll probably start learning how to do 2 backflips, 3, 4. Well, I keep fucking my pussy all day, every day. I mean, I do that for a living. I do cam shows, so I know where my spot is, and I know how to make myself squirt.
Well, you and I are going to have to do one show where for the whole 3 hours we just fuck and see if we can talk and handle a topic at the same time while fucking. I just want to see, because, well, anybody that knows me knows it. Within five minutes, my part in the show will be over. Yeah, within 5 minutes, my part of the show will be over. I'll be asleep. The host has went to sleep. ladies and gentlemen, you have about 3 minutes to get in on the after show. You got to call in at 347-989-8310 and press 1 to let Miss Monique know that you're trying to talk. We're going to let you guys come in and enjoy the after show with Miss Diamond, myself, and we're going to get into more about booty call protocol as well as the questions that you have. But Miss Diamond, while we're still on the internet portion of the show, let them know some of the places where they can find you, because I really enjoyed your sites, and you have a couple of sites. So let them go know where they can enjoy you and some things that you have coming up in the future.
Oh, okay. Let me see. Where you can see me, of course, is diamondjackson.com. And if you want to be an affiliate of my site, because if you have a site, you can become an affiliate at diamondmoney.com. If you'd like to do a private show with me, someone was requesting just in the chat to do a private session to do that, you have to go to diamondcam.net, where I have my own chat room, state-of-the-art, high-definition chat room. And then I have, you know, on my site, I have a store where you can purchase products from my body pillows. Some of my fans have purchased my body pillows, and you can fuck them, which they're nice and soft. Squishy, and I'm naked.
Uh-huh.
That's great. And I have a wish list if you'd like to get me something on my wish list. And I put on there something that would be your wish list, because I auction things off that I have. And I'm on Twitter, and all you need is Diamond. Or you can get me on Twitter at Diamond Jackson. I'm not usually on those as much. Diamond on Cam and Diamond Cam on Twitter. But my main one is just Diamond. And the Diamond Store wants to beat me to death because they want that Twitter and they're not getting it.
Oh, wow. That's nice. Maybe we'll get lucky, because my homeboy owned Justin TV, and he's charging $5 million for it. They got to pay him $5 million for it. So maybe you can get enough out of him, you can get $5 million, and you and I can go and, like, vacation off in the tropics for 3 years off that $5 million. I'm just sticking myself in your life.
And then will you give me a booty? Do you give me the booty for me?
Now look, I don't know. For $5 million, I pretty much do some of everything at that point. $5 million, you can stick a lot of dicks in my ass. $5 million, you can put concurrent dicks in my ass.
just not a male dick.
Yeah, well, you can put, $5 million, you can put something, anything. You can do a Richard Gere and put a squirrel in my ass. But I'm not going to lie, like a lot of these people say, but you can do all kinds of shit to me for the right amount. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Lisa, I'm just letting you know. And
ladies and gentlemen, hold on a second. Yeah. Whenever the taxi music is on, that means we're about to take a nigga over. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been another fabulous episode on the Trash Talking Tuesday of Your World, My Views. Thank you guys for joining me. Thank you guys for joining Ms. Diamond Jackson. And we were talking about the idea of the booty call. And if you don't have any rules of your booty call, then you just a hoe. Don't be no hoe. Set up rules for your booty call. If he call you at the wrong time, tell him, even if you ain't got shit to do, pretend that you're cooking. Pretend that you're doing something. Never make yourself that available to somebody. Because, again, you're not a booty call at that point. You're just a hoe. Thank you for joining us. You'll be back on this Thursday where we will have more great topics for you. And we're about to go into the after show. And for those of us who have not called in, I will say good night. Woo! I enjoyed that one. Diamond, oh, girl, you are hilarious. I'm supposed to be the resident comedian on the show. Seems like you got better jokes than me.
I'm hopping off time. I got early clients.
All right, girl, do your thing. Do your thing. All right.
We're bye, Diamond. It's good to talk to you.
Bye. Nice talking to you, too.
We're going to bring in people who want to talk to you, and the after show is fun because they get to talk to you directly, and we get to ask about whatever we want to ask about, and we also get to just have fun. And let me give you guys the rules of the after show. If you can hear my voice, that means I can hear your voice. Know what that means? That means if you have kids and it's Tuesday night, it's 10 o'clock on the East Coast, they ass should be in the bed sleep. If they need something, give them some water, pat them on the ass, and send them to bed. If they will not go to sleep, take one of the pillows that you have, put it over their face for 5 minutes, and hold it down firmly. They will sleep through the night. Now, they might not get up in the morning, but they will sleep through the night. If you have dogs, please walk them, please feed them, or euthanize them. If you have your phone and you're around your wife and y'all arguing and cussing, mute your phone, please. And if you can't do that, then just mute your life. This is the after show. You guys are in here. Ms. Mo has picked and choose who can get in. So if you can't hear yourself talking, that means she didn't pick you because you didn't press one. So you need to press one and tell Ms. Mo that you want to talk. And we're going to start off with a lady who had a great question for you, Diamond. And I didn't ask it, so I'm going to let her. She's our resident legal beagle. Ms. Georgette, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
It always takes Georgette a while because she be messing around with her phone and her dog be biting at her, nipping at her nails, her heels, and all kind of shit be going on. And Georgette, before she speaks, she wants to make sure that all the guys in the audience understand one thing.
Don't be no punk. because that's what's happening. Men are allowing themselves to get punked.
How you doing, Georgette? And the men know not to be a punk.
I'm doing quite well. Doing quite well.
Okay, now you had a question. I don't think I asked that question. So you go ahead and ask Ms. Jackson that question.
I think my question was basically what influenced you to choose your profession as opposed to any other profession that was available to you at the time? Is there anything, I guess, other than the money that is keeping you there as opposed to maybe seeking out, going in another direction, furthering your career in some other way?
No, because like I said, when I first started out, I was seeing, yes, the money was really going good and, you know, hey, this is great. But I also was enjoying what I was doing because I do like to masturbate, and to do it to make money is even better. It's just, I love to talk to people, so I love chatting. And so chatting in a chat room just comes naturally to me since I used to do television work and could do that. And it's kind of a little bit better than just, you know, I've done news and I've done, live television. It's kind of a lot better than just talking to looking at a teleprompter or a camera and, you know, hey, people out there, and da, da, da. I was always in the entertainment business. I've done it all my life. So I guess it just was natural to me because I love sex and I love being in front of the camera. And I guess that's why I have stayed with it, because if I didn't like it, I would not be doing this. And I don't think I'll want to. I know I don't want to do anything else.
Hold on now. She got a follow-up now. That sounds like my boy James Brown. James going to ask you a good question, so I'm going to hold him off, though. Go ahead, Georgette.
Oh, okay. My follow-up question would be, so when this job, when you, I don't want to say get too old for, but yeah, when you get too old for this job.
Yeah, you too old for fucking. I tell everybody, if I get married to you and we get 65, fucking is something we just going to watch on tape. I'm not fucking your old ass.
What? When you get too old for this job? Well, first of all, I guess, when do you think that you might reconsider and say, maybe I'm getting too old for this? And when that happens, do you think that you'll be able to retire, or will you go on to pursue other interests? And do you, how do you think that this career will help or hinder you pursuing those interests after you can no longer do this?
Well, number one is, I don't know if you ever, if you know Nina Hartley.
No.
I believe now she's in her, Nina Hartley is, I believe right now in her 60s, and she's been doing porn since like 1980s, I believe.
Oh, wow.
Really?
And,
she's in her
60s? Oh, yeah, I've seen her. And there are a lot of people that, and I still see her at expos and conventions. Ron Jeremy. He's done mainstream movies. I fucked him. He's not, you know, what people think he should be fucking, but I have fucked him. but he's still, yeah, he's a great guy in person. He's very friendly. He's very nice. But I think that in anything you do in life, you can do it as long as you want to do it, no matter what, because I have people that will enjoy my work and enjoy what I want to do. Now, if I wanted to go into anything else, I definitely could, because if it bothers people that I was in the porn industry, then I don't want to work for them or with them anyway. And number two, I don't know if I could even work for anyone else, because I think I'm intelligent enough to work for myself and I've created my own business, and I definitely can work and do other things. I know computers very well. I can design very well. So I do have things that I could fall back on. I do have a college degree. I could even go back into sports medicine as well and be a trainer for football and whatnot, or just different leagues. And no one really has to know exactly if I think that they're going to not want to, you know, hire me. I really don't have to say, oh, yes, I'm a porn star and all of that. But basically, I believe I can do this as long as I want, and I'm going to do it as long as I want, and I can definitely retire doing this, but I plan on working until I'm like George Burns, until I fall in my grave, because I really don't want to get to a point where I'm like, okay, I want to retire and sit on a beach somewhere. I really don't want that in my life. I definitely wanted to stay active and have a purpose and do something, and I feel that what I do is a purpose for people, because there's a lot of men and women out there that own corporations. And I've even, you know, have had a guy that, I hate to say it, but I'm just going to say it. I had a guy that I was doing shows with, and he was in the White House. And there are people that have a lot of stress in their life. And
yes,
when they come to me, I help them relieve that stress, and I help them laugh. Some people, my longest show was 8 hours with a gentleman, and there are some people that I've done 5-hour shows and 6-hour shows with, and they just want to come and they just want to talk. They just want somebody to talk to. There's a lot of lonely people out there, and some of them don't even want to see me naked. So there's something that, you know, I provide other than my body or my looks and all of that. And even being online and porn doesn't have anything to do with your looks. It's who you are and how you treat people. And that gets you far, I believe, in anything in life.
Yeah, Ron Jeremy is an testament to that. Let's see. I snuck that one in there. I do want to go to James, but what I want to ask you something myself, and I don't know if it's stepping on James, but when Georgette said that, it made me think, do you have any children? And do you want any children? And if you had children, would it make you stop doing what you're doing, or would you keep doing it?
Go ahead,
Well, I don't have any children. I don't want any children. But if I did have children, I probably would stop because of the fact that they would probably not understand it because they're so young, and then they would probably get teased. And I would want to put them through that because of, unfortunately, because of the way things are, there are some things you have to sacrifice for someone else. When you have children, your life is not your own anymore. So you have to think about someone else other than yourself. I made a decision a long time ago. I don't know if I will have kids. I can't say that I will not, come to think of it. But if I decide to one day, right now I don't want any. But if I decide to, if I get with a guy, I got to get a man first, or a woman.
Or a turkey baby.
Yeah, then you buy something. I got to have, yeah, exactly. And wanted to have that time for, for our child, but at this point, no, I don't want any children, so I would have to say I probably, you know, it would probably change my life if I did have a child, yes.
Well, that was one of the most respectable and responsible answers I've heard to that, because I'm glad you said that. There are a lot of people running around with like 9 or 10 kids that don't pay the attention to what the child is going to go through at all. So, James, go ahead and ask your question.
I got a few questions, and just to, what y'all was just talking about, the children, but what if, you know what I'm saying, you had a child and wanted to do this when they got older, would you try talking them out of it?
No, because if it's something that they wanted to do, because I honestly believe that everybody's life is their life. Their life is not my life. I would let them know what to expect, because I would know everything that, you know, I would know everything, but I know pretty much what they're getting into, so I'd be able to be a guide. But I wouldn't stop them. I wouldn't, you know, say, no, I did this and you shouldn't be going through that. Because I really feel like everyone needs to experience what they need to in life. If they feel it's right for them, then let them try it. And then they might say, hey, it's not right for me. But that would be their ultimate decision as long as they're 18.
Okay.
Then it would not be my decision.
Okay, I got that answer, though. But question, I want to share, I mean, this is questions, comments, and all concerns, though. But I attended a bachelor party a couple of years ago, and there was maybe 25 guys, and I would say 5 strippers, but they were more like 5 prostitutes. So let me just say this, and I'm going to keep it real. There was a lot of action going on, a lot of action going on. And I was like, how can these 5 women please and satisfy all these men? But I was told that for a woman that do this type of work hours and hours and hours, there's some kind of cream that they use on within their body to numb it where they won't feel what goes on. Is that what goes on in the porn industry?
Not for me. I mean, you can do you can put anal ease in your ass if you're using a toy, but if you put anal ease in your ass or anal ease in your pussy, and a guy goes in without a condom, yeah, his dick's probably going to go limp because his dick's going to get numb. It's kind of like if you were to put something that is kind of like some Vicks Vaporub on it, and you get that kind of... Yeah, some Bengay, some shit on there. You wouldn't have to put it. It wouldn't be pleasant for you. And it might burn if it goes down your pee hole. It might burn.
Vicks vapor room, but I've had the pleasure of a Halls cough drop, and it was the vapor.
You know, that is not good for you, James. Don't do that. Medically, that is not good for you.
I'm glad you tell me that. I always just acting. Oh, wow. Okay, but another question, and the last question that I have, though, and I'm not throwing stones just at you as a person, though, but since you're getting paid so much for doing this, but in reality, is there a difference between a porn star, man or woman, and a prostitute?
Yes, there is a difference, and let me tell you what the big difference is. The big difference is you come to me and you say, Diamond, I'm going to give you so-and-so dollars to fuck me.
porn stars?
I'm not saying. I'm not. You see what I'm saying? And
yeah.
if you're on the set with me, there is a director and there's a producer, and then there's a person that also does the payroll, and he says, okay, here's your check, and here's your check. So we both make money, and we fuck on this set. You see what I mean? It's like a job. It's almost like any movie that you go see, any mainstream movie that you go see, and there's the couple's in the bed, and they have maybe the woman has something over her nipples, and he's still feeling all on her, and some of them don't. I mean, like Halle Berry, feeling all on her real tits. You know, he's just touching her tits and everything, and then touching, you know, wherever else, rubbing her ass, they're not having sex. Okay? You see what I mean? So it's basically the same. We're doing the same. We're acting, but we're doing it. We're going all the way. That is not prostitution, because you're paying someone to have sex with you, but two people are being paid to have sex.
Yeah, I think James was asking, and I'll answer this, and Georgette probably knows this too. James wasn't asking more on the legality. He understands the legality of it, because legally you understand the difference between it. It's almost like the government telling you it's okay for them to kill somebody in the death chamber, but then if you kill somebody to take revenge on them, it's wrong. The only difference is this.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, they're getting their taxes from it. They're seeing where the money's going, so they're actually controlling the action. It's the reason why some of the drugs are illegal and some of the other ones aren't, because technically I used to always tell people, and they would laugh when I'd say it, but I said every time I buy a prostitute, I bring a camera with me, just in case the police bust up in there. I say, hold on, player, we shooting a film. Because for some reason, because it's artistic. No, I would say, you know, we shooting a film, and I was going to do my taxes at the end of the year. Because they claim it's an art form, that's why they can't arrest them. It's the way around it. If the government could stop prostitution, see, you could sell pussy and just keep the money. You would never have to pay the government, because they wouldn't know.
It's illegal to sell,
but not
buy.
Go ahead.
But you're not hearing what I'm saying. I'm not talking about the legal point of it. What I'm saying is, look at it. Okay, I have sex with the CJ Wright. CJ Wright's getting paid. CJ Wright's not paying me to fuck him. He's getting paid. I'm getting paid. You see what I mean? It is not. I would be a prostitute.
But when I buy
CJ
Xbox, wait a minute. But when I buy Xbox, I don't get paid. Bill Gates does.
Yes, he does get paid. But the point that. But do you see what I'm saying? When
no, I saw what you
were
saying,
but
I was saying
dealing with actual
no,
companies,
I see,
actual company that file taxes, different things like that.
Yeah, they're
mm-hmm.
the production company. The production company puts together everything. They hire the actors. They hire the camera people. They hire everyone, and they make sure. And then the money comes back to them, and they make sure they pay everyone. And like when I go buy a Coke, it quenches my thirst, but I don't get any money. It just quenches my thirst. So, I mean, I think that's why they were saying they understand the legality parts of it, because most transactions that go on in life are someone's paying someone for a good and a service. And prostitution should be one of them, because you're paying for a good and a services. And I'm a huge believer in prostitution shouldn't be illegal. I think it's stupid. But it's just like marijuana is being illegal and tobacco is legal and alcohol is legal. When people know, we all know that more people die from alcohol-related diseases and crashes than they do from marijuana. So the government is being very hypocritical. But the reason they're being hypocritical is the fact that you can grow some of this stuff in your own yard and they wouldn't be able to make any money off of it. You could grow it and sell it and they wouldn't see it. The government wants to make sure they can get their hands on a lot of the money that you make. And that to me is the biggest difference, if you want to look at it legally, the biggest difference between the two, because I think a woman should be able to do it.
He's asking me what the difference. Is he asking me what the legal difference is, or if I think it's the same thing?
He was more or less asking you, do you think it's the same thing? He was basically getting. That's why he said.
And I don't.
Song. He was. Hey, go ahead. Okay.
Yeah,
well,
I don't.
There you go,
that's
Jen.
Why I'm saying I don't.
and I don't either, because when you hire a prostitute, James, let me tell you something. I don't get to see it. So I'd be mad about it. And you keeping that shit to yourself. You stingy. So that's one of the things I'd like to say about that. Now, I'm going to bring in my friend. I don't know if he's still there, but I got to bring him in. I want to give a shout out not only to him, but I want to give a I want to give this shout out to your boy Fly the Fagnificent.
Why is it there's a gun shop on almost every corner? And it's, why do we want to kill ourselves? You go out to Beverly Hills, you don't see that shit.
You are so wrong.
Why they want us to kill ourselves? Why they want us to kill ourselves?
He is gonna come to
why
you.
Why they want us to kill ourselves? Why they want us to kill ourselves?
I'm sorry, what's going on?
Yo, what's poppin', man?
Not much. Okay, all right. Asar, do you have booty call protocol? Would you like to talk to Miss Jackson? We are having a good time here, and this is fun. I'm so glad that she came here. We finally got a tough question. I love
thank
tough
you.
Questions, and she handled it beautifully. Tough questions, and we like that. It was not scripted. I will mute a dumb question, but I like tough questions. But go ahead, Asar. Don't fall in the former.
I think that Jackson provided some viewpoints that I've never considered because I used to see, I won't say I used to see, but I often wondered how someone in the porn industry views sexuality in relation to prostitution. People who engage in the porn lifestyle, because I knew someone who was in porn, and he was telling me once you're in it, that's it. It's kind of difficult to get out of it. You're prone to.
I got out of it.
I don't know.
I don't think it's hard. I don't know if you know, but actress Sasha Gray, she is doing mainstream movies.
Mm-hmm.
And oh god, I can't think of the one blonde. But you guys, she does not a blonde. But I think she's back in the '90s or something. I can't remember her name. Tanya, somebody,
Victoria,
but
Lord.
She basically
Kim Kardashian did.
Yeah, she went into mainstream. She went into mainstream movies where she didn't take off her clothes or anything. And that's it. So that's what I'm saying. So I don't believe that. I just believe that you in life have to believe in you. And you can do anything you set your mind to do. You just got to do it. Seriously.
Well,
you can't let someone tell you can't. You know, or and believe what other people say. If they want to close the door on you, go to an open one.
You mentioned earlier that you said that you you don't want to have children. What is your viewpoint?
No. She said she didn't.
Yeah, she said she didn't want to have children. Right.
Not right now.
Okay.
Not right now. Maybe.
Okay. So now, like, I'm my viewpoint. My viewpoint is a little bit different than the average individual. So I've always found it to be humorous yet confusing when people who engage in what's, I guess, the politically correct term nowadays is alternative lifestyle, and then they want to raise children. That's always mm-hmm. been like, you know. So, like, do you find that there's people who, I mean, because you're in the industry, you know, women who are bisexual, pretty much, and then they raise children, you know, or there's some, I think, who are just strictly just do lesbian things, but they want to get impregnated mm-hmm. and have children and raise children, you know, to I don't know. I mean, what's your viewpoint on that?
My viewpoint on, I'm not quite sure.
Political question up in here. He's trying to ask you if you do you think gays and lesbians should be able to. And I don't know if you want to cross that bridge. And you don't, and understand you don't have to cross that one because I know that's a risky one. He wants to know if you are okay with gays and lesbians raising children.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, because I mean, I'm just going to tell you, yeah, because I feel that if that's what they want to do, then I believe a child can be raised by anyone that, you know, that is going to treat the child well, because there's a lot of people that are in relationships, mother and father, and the two kids are treated badly, you know, so why? Who am I to say that two men or two women can't treat a child better than, or raise a child better than a man and a woman can, so that, you know, I just think it's who is raising you, because a single father can raise a child well. A single mother can. I mean, it would be best to have both influence in your life, because that's just my opinion. It would be best to have a mother and a father. But I think because of the fact of the matter is because I think you need both sides, period. My opinion. And to be honest, you know, I like women, and, you know, so I'm bisexual, but if you think about it, you know, women cannot have children with women unless they go get some help, just like men can't have children unless they go get some help. So somewhere that has to tell you what happened, if that's supposed to be, you know, the same way things are supposed to be to produce people, you know, then you basically have to look at that within yourself and say, is that, you know, morally right or is it morally wrong? And you have to weigh that out for yourself. And for me, I just say, you know, I question, you know, two women and two men because of the fact of the matter is when it comes to having kids, because of the fact of the matter is they can't do it naturally. So that's why I say that I think you need some type of male and female influence in your life. That's what I feel. But I'm not going to say that because I think two women can raise a child and two men can, but it would be best to me to have two different ones. That's just how I see it.
Well, I look at it this way, when you, especially in the black community, when 80% of black kids are born to just a mother, we kind of lose at that point to say what a professional relationship should be. Because we allow 80% of our women to raise kids by themselves. So at that point, if you can give a child a stable household, in my opinion, I think that's where the child should be raised. Because Jeffrey Dahmer had a mother and a father.
Yeah, I mean, look at him. That's what I'm saying. So there's just the way you kind of see it. I think that any, you know, because that's what I'm saying. You can say it that way, but you can also wonder, you know, what he's saying, is it right, I think. And people can say, well, they can't really have kids. But the point is you don't have to have kids, what I'm trying to really say, to parent them. You can go adopt someone, and you know, be some parents that adopt some kids and raise them. So two people, yes, I think two women and two men can raise a child right. And I don't think that's an alternative lifestyle. I just think that that's just their lifestyle.
All right, Asar, did she ask it? Well, hold on, Keith. I'm going to let you ask a question, but I have another question that someone wanted to ask, and I'm going to try to word this the best way I can, and I'll use myself as an example. And it's to you, Diamond. I was raised, I was molested by an 18-year-old woman when I was about 7. I was raised in sort of a dysfunctional household for a while where you know, there was a lot of things going wrong. And after that happened to me, I've noticed that a lot of the times when I've dealt with women, especially when I used to do stripping and I did a little porn, when I did that, a lot of us had the same story about growing up. Our childhoods were kind of hard. We typically didn't have both parents. We typically felt neglected or loved by or not loved by one of the parties. And then a lot of us were molested in somehow. Now, and you don't have to go into this or not, but I was just wondering, did you see a lot of that in the industry, that a lot of the girls or guys, when we would sit down and talk, were your experiences like mine, where you'd say, wow, we kind of all have the same sort of background?
No, I didn't see that. Some people were from, in the industry, are from really good homes. Some people are from wealthy homes. Where the parents didn't even pay attention to them. But then there were some that had really wealthy parents, and the parents were good to them. It's just something that they wanted to do because you come across so many people. But to be honest, nowadays, I think everyone has some type of baggage. I mean, no one gets through life without baggage. We all pick it up along the way, you know. And so I would say that if you have some baggage and then somebody comes along and says, get into this, we'll accept you, no matter if it was someone that was in a gang or whatever. If you feel love somewhere and you never felt it at home, you're going to go that way because you're going to want to feel that. It makes you feel accepted. It makes you feel like, you know, someone's there in your corner.
Mm-hmm. Because with me, I was walking that weird line. They were like, well, wait a minute. You're a Georgia Tech graduate. Why would you have done blah, blah, blah? I'm like you. Like, I loved it when you were bringing up at the beginning that you are not some idiot that's doing it. You're a very smart person. It's just the life you chose. And I used to have to explain it to them. Mm-hmm. I said, it has nothing to do with my intelligence. Sometimes it was just these are the people that I feel most comfortable around.
That's it. Yes. And that's what you wanted to do. And
exactly. Now, Keith, what was the question you had? Uh-oh, hold on. I'll go back to you, James, but Keith wants to ask a question.
Yeah,
Keith,
I know.
What was
it?
Go
I
ahead,
actually
Keith.
Have two questions. One is...
Damn it, I said one.
Okay, like I said, I got two questions. Now, one is economic and one is just a curiosity. Number one, with so much free porn that's being offered online, is it still as lucrative as when you got in the industry, or are you finding more that you have to offer more of these special added incentives for your clients, like shows and personal appearances and things like that?
That's a good question.
Well, yeah, that's a very good question. I think that for people that were at in a different place, let's say maybe if you were a contract star, and I was asked to do that, and I chose not to do that because not only do they, they will take your name, and then they put a website up for you, and then when you leave, then they get your website and all of that. So I chose, there were other things, too, that are involved in being a contract star because you're contracted and you're under them and you sign a contract and you got to be under that and you can only work for that company. Well, if that's the case and if that company is making movies and, they can only offer you so much because of the pirating and everything and the free sites or whatever is going on online, then they're not going to be able to offer you as much. So they're not going to be able to make as much. So now I find that there are a lot of porn stars now doing what I started out doing, what I love doing more than anything, and that's cam modeling. And I always did it because I wanted to always do movies, but I did not want movies to be my sole thing of being around people that enjoyed what I do because, like I said, I love to interact. I love to chat. And one of the things I saw a porn star say that was under contract was that she now has to have her own site and she has to do the chatting and has to do the Twittering because that's something that they can't steal because they can't get you live, they can't see you live, and they don't get you, they just get that movie. And that's how you still make money. Well, I was doing that before, and the movies never, ever have done for me financially, or I would say it made me feel like it was something, that I really wanted to do. It never gave that to me like being a cam model and chatting and getting to know people personally. So I think it did hurt some people. It hurt the companies, especially the big companies, and even some of the small companies that had to go under. They just are gone. And it hurt the agency, so it did do have a big impact, and it still is having a big impact in the industry. But if that's where you were getting your sole income, then yeah, you're gonna have to try to do something else if this is what you love to do. And for me, it hasn't affected me at all. So, I mean, there are other things you can do because you got to be smart enough to know, okay, if you can get something here, you have to learn how to market yourself. And that's the thing. The thing is marketing and getting out there and letting people know who you are. And you shouldn't depend on an agent or a company to do that for you because what if they don't? Or what? Because you might be yesterday's news anyway, and then they decide to use someone else. Susie Q comes along. She's 18 and you're 23, and, they're going to go right to her. And where are you going to be? If you didn't learn anything, then just like any job, you're going to be struggling, That's why you got to get in and educate yourself.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, second question. You mentioned earlier about giving it to a dude using a strap-on and him taking it up the butt. And I'm assuming that this is still considered – well, this is still – is this still considered a heterosexual act? And what's the thrill for the dude?
He's a faggot.
I think he's just gay. But and that's cool. I mean, that's it. But the thing about it is I don't think that if, let's say, if I fucked you in the ass, I still think it's not gay.
Not
okay.
Possible.
Okay, let's say I fucked a guy in the ass. You brought it up, so let's say I fucked. I don't even know. No one sees your face though. But
yeah,
let's say
yeah,
anybody, yeah. Anybody, whatever. It's still. I mean, you're probably asking me what me get a pleasure out of it.
Yeah, like you
or him.
You feel good.
The question I have is is he getting a thrill from this and how is he getting a
yes.
Is it okay? And what's
I'm
the
gonna get a thrill out of it?
What is that?
Yeah, because you just got to think of if the guy's gay. If he's getting it that way, the gay guys do it that way. So I think it feels good. And I like anal, so it feels good to me to be fucked in my ass. But I've only gotten fucked in my ass by a real cock. But like I said, I would think that it would feel good to him because the guys I've done, it felt good. But for me, I get a thrill out of it because it feels good to him. Kind of like if you were licking my pussy. Do you get a thrill out of licking pussy, or do you not? Because I do.
Let's say I do.
That's a great point. That's a great point. What she said. You're not getting. You're doing something, but you still get something out. That's a great point. Because I always wondered that myself. When a woman puts a strap on, I'm like, what is she getting out of it? And Jag, what do you get out of taking a man's manhood?
So for me, I can't really. I can speak for myself when I say I get, it's like an adrenaline rush.
Why don't you jump out of a fucking plane? Don't put a dick in my ass. Damn.
It's an adrenaline.
Oh, she do go to
it's
truck stop
for real.
Breaking me.
I mean, it's
only
an adrenaline. It's like.
Love that shit. Only you
Jag will rape your ass. Jag will rape you in a second. She raped a motherfucker at a job interview.
Rape
this,
is
I was like,
a very strong word.
Yo,
you
one
can't
time
rape
I
someone
that's
willing to do it.
Yo,
you
a
can't rape the willing.
A woman tried that on me one time.
Yes,
yeah. Finger in my ass, and I slapped the shit out of her, and it was stupid. I mean, it was so quick. I mean, Mike Tyson speed. And she was like, I said, what the fuck is that? You know what I mean? And
just say no.
I ain't gonna lie. Now let me. I'm this all about the truth, and I ask people to tell the truth, and I tell the truth. I love getting my ass licked. Anybody that know me know that I love getting my ass. Like, you want to get a ring from me?
Mm-hmm.
Lick my ass.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I will marry him. All you have to do is you lick my ass. I will change my last name to yours. Tommy Jackson.
Okay, Mr. Jackson. Mr. Jackson. I lick ass. I do lick ass.
Because it's great. It's the fun. It is good. And because it feels good, and the bad thing about men is when we have this discussion, you have to understand, fellas, the prostate is one of the most sensitive areas on a man. So we don't like it because we worried about feeling gay. We worried about if you let me do this, that means I'm gay. Men won't do a lot of shit because we worry if we're gay. Women can sit there and feel on each other's titties because they feel like, I ain't gay, but I just want to see how they feel. Men, we can't admire another man's cock. We can't even say, man, how do you do that to that girl? Because you look like you was fucking her real good. We don't know how to ask each other that question because we were like, you with your gay ass. Don't be asking me that. So we can't. That's why we don't know shit, because we can't ask each other something. Man, we can't even, y'all can call each other crying, talking about, he left me. I wish a nigga would call me talking about some she left me. She left me, Thomas. What should I do? Get the fuck off the phone with me, nigga, with your punk ass.
And thank you so bad. Y'all can thank you so bad, so I'm saying it. Nigga,
yeah,
thank you that ass in the game.
But that's all about, you see what you said, though. See, it's within the confines of some shit. Like, me and, I remember in college and when I played football, we could slap each other in the ass with the towel during in the damn gym. We'd be running around naked after the game. Nobody paid any attention.
Yep.
You better not, you can't do that shit around the house. There ain't no game about to start. You can't slap me in the ass because I cooked a nice pot roast. Good pot roast, T-Dog, pal.
Nah,
hold on,
no.
Man.
Nah, no.
Shitting me. You can't even slap me on the ass if we watching the Lakers game. Nigga, we ain't playing. Kobe scored.
Hey, Tom.
Hey,
I'd like to ask Mr. Diamond, though, during the casting call, the audition, how do they, I mean, do they go by your looks or actually just sex? And do people look at you as a star for what you do, or you just disgust them?
Actually, people, they like what I do. I get a lot of good feedback. I really don't get any bad feedback from anybody. Only the people that come to the expos with the crosses on their back and they're walking. You know, those are the kind of people that. That, I mean, I think they got issues themselves, but, you know, I think that they think that they actually see us as what we are, porn stars. And I had to stop going to a gym because at the gym I would be on the treadmill or I'd be working out and then the guy would come by and get on the treadmill or buy things and he'd start elbowing me, "Hi, Diamond." I'm like, oh my goodness, okay. And then, you know, they're having that. You know, can I talk to you? Who the fuck are you? You know, so that's kind of, I mean, I'm blown away. I mean, like, they see me in the mall. They want me to sign an autograph. They, you know, oh, wow, it's Diamond Jackson. And I had someone yell, "Diamond Jackson," down in the mall. So they see you as just as any other star. If they watch porn, and there's some people that are with their family, so they're not going to say it because their family doesn't know that they watch porn or their wife does not know. But I get guys that are eyeballing me and eyeballing me and eyeballing me, and they're with their woman, and I'm like, okay. So you kind of know that they know who you are, and so I get the same kind of treatment as any other star would get. You know, I don't have to get mobbed with people, but I do get. People recognize me and whatnot, and they come up to me and they say, "Well, I like your work. I love what you do," and that makes me feel good that they're enjoying it. So, got it.
I heard that when Superhead came out with her video or her book or whatever, she was getting tons of phone calls and letters from women and be like, "Yo, I need to know how to suck dick like you because she sucked the way she did Mr. Marcus." I mean, Mrs. Marks, when he was interviewed about it, he was like, "Yo, you can show me some of the films of women I don't fuck, and I don't even remember them. But that bitch, I remember." You know, and, you know. So, like, do you get phone calls from women to be like, "Yo, how do you bone like this? How do you stroke like that?" Do you get those kind of phone calls?
Yeah. Oh yeah, I get it online all the time. And guys will ask me how do they please their wives or girl. I get, you know, girls will come in private and ask, "How do I please my man?" And or "How do I make him really want me and really turn him out?" And I get that all the time, and that's fine. You know, it's cool. I definitely don't mind sharing.
Well, when I learned about that, I said to myself. Like, when I saw that woman give head, I said, "I need to get head like that. Like, that's mad."
Oh, she's bad. Her superhead is bad.
Yo, her head, her title is, she has earned that title. I mean, she was talking shit the whole time. Like, "Yo, we ain't even done. Dude had to back off on various occasions." And I've never had head like that. You know what I mean? And, you know, I'm thinking that, you know, maybe porn has some relevance. You know what I mean? This, our outlook on it is quite negative. But, you know, and it's so funny, too, that, I be hearing girls saying, "Yeah, you know, that porn shit is nasty." But when I'm giving them dick, they're like, "Oh, my God, fuck me this, fuck me that." I'm like, you know, and then the next few minutes, they're
exactly.
You know, so it's
hey,
like,
I don't ask I don't ask all the questions I have. I got one last question, and it's a secret. If you can help me, Ms. Diamond, what is it that a man could take to just get him right back up? You would notice in this industry, because once you come, I'm through. What is it that a man could take? I mean, you can just let me know. Don't let everybody. They all can't hear us right now. Just me and you.
I can answer that.
Oh, okay.
You want her answer? You want me to answer? Man,
you
man,
tell me if
yeah,
she can hear her.
Yeah, I'd rather hear her say it because she sound better to my ears than you or something. You might sound better than girls, but I just don't want to hear you tell. I don't like hearing you tell me how to keep my dick up because it make my dick go down just by hearing you tell me how to keep it up.
I would love to hear it, though. Let me hear it, please.
You want to hear my say?
Yeah, I want to hear it.
To be honest with you, I mean, I live what some people call a holistic life. I don't eat meat, I don't drink, I don't smoke. I've been doing yoga for the past 13 years. There's certain exercises, there's a muscle between the anus and the testicles called perineal. And there are certain exercises you can do with your perineal that, one, provides longevity during stroking, and two, it helps with the prostate. So it also prevents prostate cancer.
Mm-hmm.
What I have found to be my experience, I could bust a nut, and I will still remain erect. And women don't, they just don't understand. They're like, yo, what do you do? And I'm like, I tell them all the things that I do. Like, oh, my God, all the yoga pays off. And all, you know, so what has been my experience is that, and I've been able to do it with, like, only two sisters, you know, really. The other ones, I don't really feel them that much. It's also contingent upon the individual that you're with. If someone really do it to you like that,
yeah,
you know, you may not even need none of that stuff, and they can just get you right back up, you know. So it depends on the chemistry that occurs between you and the person, but there's also certain things, certain postures and exercises you can get into that will strengthen your sexual muscles and sexual, your genitalia, period. They prolong performance, and they help you with that area as well.
Yeah, but I can't get in all this shape by Friday. I mean, I'm just talking about, you know.
So how long does it take you to get back up? I mean, seriously, if you're like done, if you're like done, I mean, you're done. But basically, you have to kind of. No, because different things get different guys up, honestly. Some guys, you know, want me to rub their feet on their dick and they can get hard again. It just depends on what turns you on. And some guy, if I put my feet on his dick, I don't care if he's doing all kind of holistic stuff. He's like, get your dirty ass feet off my dick.
Exactly.
So it's
you and me going to fight over that.
You know? So
put your feet
it depends
on my dick. Hold on.
What's like? Yeah, so you have to tell them what you like. Exactly. So you have to tell, I would say, your partner, what they have to know what gets you off, and you have to know what gets you going and what gets you off and how it gets hard to begin with and what you like, and that's going to get you there again.
If I can jump in here for a quick second, I know you don't want to hear another guy's voice talking about this, but there is a book that – you know, if you're really interested in working with your sexual organs and in particular with Kegel muscles and the exercise that he was talking about. There's a really great book called The Multi-Orgasmic Man.
It's written by Montauk Chia.
Yeah. That's the one.
I have it right here.
talks about a lot of those same things about a man being able to have a traditional orgasm and still keep going. Or they talk about things like what's called the entire body orgasm, where you can basically feel like you're having an orgasm and not really shoot anything out. It's a fabulous read and a very, very interesting book. And if anybody is really interested in developing sexual prowess, I do encourage you to kind of check that out.
Did it work for you?
You're going a little bit.
Absolutely.
Like,
did it work for you? Yes, it did.
Hold on, sorry. Yeah.
that's why.
So wait a minute. Wait a minute. Let me ask you. So what do you mean by yeah? When you say it worked for you, like okay, like I play okay. games with myself before I get into the arena. You know, I practice before I get into the game. So sometimes
right.
I want to make sure, see if I can fuck through an orgasm. So I'll pull out the porn, go in the bathroom, beat myself, bust one, and then see, can I keep it up to get another one? So
okay.
how did you put this stuff into practice, Keith? How'd you do it?
There are three key ways that this book can really be effective for men. One is in increasing stamina. And that involves, you know, kind of the thing that you were talking about, the pre-game warm-up, and then over time learning how you can extend that time. So if you're somebody who's used to just orgasming right on the spot, you know, you can train yourself to resist that and still have as much sexual pleasure as you normally would having that experience. One of the other things that book will teach you is that the orgasm isn't just about, you know, shooting your wad. It will teach about the orgasm
mm-hmm.
kind of being about the entire, again, the entire body experience, about different types of orgasms that you can have, and also about really using the mind effectively for sex. So you're not depending on the visual things that you would get from porn, per se. Those things can be helpful, but they're not really the driving force behind what really gets you going. It's more like what your guest Diamond is talking about really enjoying sex and then being able to draw out from yourself the kind of things that will help you and your partner go. So that's the second thing. And then the third
thing. Well, I think the problem is I don't think that deep. I just go into it trying to get an orgasm, and I'm trying to get it as fast as I can. I win usually when I go to bed. It's like a race, and I usually am the one who always wins. I don't really care. I mean, I like
will help you, Tommy.
Okay.
That book will help you, and this is just purely, you know, just kind of sexual preparation exercises where if you're hoping to have you know, good, strong orgasms or just really, really powerful orgasms, you know, there are exercises mm-hmm. in that book that will also, you know, help you be able to do that. You know,
not only that, they also help with mental discipline. Like Mantak Chio has another book, Dial Secrets of Love, Cultivating Male Sexual Energy. And for me, one of the best books that I've read on the subject matter, other than The Multi-Orgasmic Man, is The Dial of Sexology, written by Dr. Stephen Chang. And he talks mm-hmm. about the benefits and detriments towards about masturbation, the benefits and detriments of too much sex or not enough sex and withholding, with something they call the million point method, where, like he said, you can have an orgasm without having an orgasm. It's really powerful, heavyweight stuff, but there's some postures and breathings and certain types of disciplines you have to do in order to exact that result. But what he's saying is true, because it's worked for me as well. I get no complaints.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What works for me is I just get a lot of chicks that just don't require much. I make sure I date them chicks that don't. You know, because y'all be dating these chicks once y'all jump through fucking hoops and stuff. I don't do that. I like chicks that like jumping through hoops. Every time I get in the bed, she's just doing all kind of craziness to me, and I just get to lay there and enjoy it. Now, again, I'm the big clitoris fan. If you got a big clitoris, I will lick that thing for weeks. I don't know what it is about. Now, maybe that's something in me. But every time I see a woman that, like, first off, they easy to make come. You can, like, talk to their pussy and they'll have an orgasm. It'd be the best thing in the world. I have held a conversation with a chick clitoris, and she came three times. Just saying. So, but, Diamond, when you get these questions, I know, because when I used to get them, and I still get them now, it's almost mm-hmm. fun. Gets old. Do it feels the same way with you? Like, it never gets old to answer these questions because people are coming to you and it's almost like you're the therapist.
Yeah, and a lot, I've seen a lot of girls in chat rooms and they're like, God, I get the same damn question. And I'm like, well, think about a doctor when he's doing his job. People go in, there's not too many, you know, different illnesses out there. Pretty much a lot of people, the majority of people come in, they got the same thing. So they're going to get the same question. You got to enjoy what you do, and I enjoy what I do. And basically sometimes, you know, I'll learn some things from, you know, different things that someone might say or whatever. And that's fine. I really don't mind getting, you know, the questions or whatever, because they just don't know or they're just asking. But my thing is, when it comes to the art of, like, if you really, really want to get into, you know, getting yourself off or making sure you can continually get off, is like you were saying, you just got to, like I was saying with the squirting, you just got something you just got to work at. You got to practice. You got to do it so you, you know, if you can be, your mind can be there, you can be there physically, and you don't have to look at a porn, no, to make yourself come. And people always ask me, don't, what do you look at? That's one question I get. What do you look at to make you get off? Because you just grab a vibrator and get off, and I say, yeah, you know, I don't have to think about anything. I just want to get off. Yeah. You know, I don't have to, but I, you know. Yeah.
I
a lot of people don't even know how to have imagination anymore, and that's one of there's a great thing in porn. But a great thing about porn is it can open up your libido. It can open up a lot of things that you weren't thinking of. But the bad thing about porn is a lot of times it can make people lazy as fuck. There's guys who won't touch their girl at all. They have to have a porn on, or they can get off on the porn, and they won't touch their girl, but they'll beat their meat for like a week straight off of the porn, because they will lose the balance between the fantasy and the reality. And as Diamond was saying, a lot of you guys got to learn how to be able to have both. You got to be able to understand that, to be able to take what you see in that fantasy world and apply it in the real world, not just be stuck in the one world or the other world where the two can't mesh. And that, to me, was always the greatest part about porn, was because it was almost a therapeutic tool if you used it correctly. If you use it correctly, it's something that can just enhance your sex life every time. But some people, that's one of the questions someone was asking you earlier, and I wanted to get a little deeper in that. What they were basically saying is, I've gotten to bed with a chick, and once she hears, well, you know, you did porn, they'll think that they have to do all this craziness to satisfy. And it's horrible because they're trying to do what they saw on the tape. And one, they're not good at it. Two, they got to understand a lot of the positions that the girls find themselves in, they're not just turned on a position. That's just a position that we got in. And then, I mean, it's a job for them at that point, and you don't have to duplicate that.
Yeah.
What do you do when people start feeling like they have to duplicate you? How do you tell a woman that, you know, what I do, I'm good at because they pay me for it. That's my job. You can't duplicate what I do. It's like, I can't do what Michael Jordan does. I don't watch him play and then go outside and just get to dunking on niggas. That's not how it works.
Exactly. and that's so true. And that's why I say, you know, you can read all the books you want, and I think those books are very, very useful. But it's not going to be useful if you don't share them with your partner, because really, ultimately, sex should not always be with your hand or yourself. It should be with a partner, but you're going to have to share that with your partner to let them know how they can continually please you and get you off. And you got to know what you like, and that's going to help them a lot to be able to get you off and you to get them off. What do you like? You know, and then I don't know. Well, let's do something then, you know. Let's see what you like. You know?
One of the biggest
professional.
Well, anyway, I'm sorry, James. I just want to say this because we're about to wrap it up. But one of the enemies to anything, whether it's a relationship or anything, is communication. One of the biggest enemies to any of it. And I just, from a psychology standpoint, I just want to let you guys know, communication is a killer. And if you and that person in any venture that you are going into, whether sex or business, if you guys do not have communication, you're not going to be able to make it better. So no matter how many books you read, as Ms. Diamond said, you're not going to make it any better than it was, and you're going to be more and more frustrated. Ms. Diamond, why don't you close us out? We got about a minute. Why don't you close us out, let them know where they can talk to you and continue to see more of you after the show, and take us home.
All right. Well, thank you guys for all coming and talking to me. I had a great time, definitely. And if you can get more of me, I have up and coming movies. I'm going to be at the Exotica in New York Expo. That's going to be November 5th through the 7th in New Jersey. It's going to be in Edison. I'm going to be in Toronto, Canada, November 19th through the 21st at the Everything to Do with Sex Show. You can look these all up online, Exotica's with three X's and the Everything to Do with Sex Show. And then I will be at the Avian Entertainment in Las Vegas in 2011. I'm not quite sure those dates, but they'll be up. And then I have The Companion with Josh Stone Productions. It will be out September 30th, and House Hunters is for ladies or guys who like, you know, lesbian sex. It will be out September 17th. And you can catch me at diamondjackson.com. If you want to talk to me on Twitter, you can catch me with just my first name, Diamond. I'm on Adult Space, just Diamond. If you go to adultspace.com, and just real quick, I'll put in there, if you do go to adultspace.com.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.